JFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And the Oscar goes to Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote.
Wow, I'm in a category of some great, great, great actors. Fantastic actors. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm really overwhelmed. My friends. I'd like to thank Bennett Miller and Danny Futterman, who I love. You know the Van Morrison song, I love, and he keeps repeating it like that. And I'd like to thank Tom Bernard and Michael Barker. Thank you so much. And my mom's name is Marilyn O'Connor, and she's here tonight. And I'd like, if you see her tonight, to congratulate her. Because she brought up four kids alone, and she deserves a congratulations for that. We're at the party, Ma, you know. And she took me to my first play, and she stayed up with me and watched the NCAA Final Four. Her passions became my passions. Be proud, Mom, because I'm proud of you, and we're here tonight, and it's so good. Thank you.
Oh, God!
Bleeding.
That's a good start.
Bleeding. That's all that was.
Congratulations to Seymour Hoffman.
Two men side by side for 20 years.
Oh, God.
No, not this, please.
Philip. Such devotion made.
Very catchy.
Wow.
But listen, there ain't nothing broke back.
You have set the tone.
Thought that I should make just that waiting. Very clear.
Here we are.
It's a party without a beer. I love driving home with Don and Mike.
Okay.
They simply make my day more bright.
Say hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Embarrassing.
Bye.
That is so embarrassing. It's very catchy. Really, really is. People are humming it.
That's the anthem for the show.
Yes, not a jingle, not a parody song. It's an anthem.
That's right. Okay, everybody saw the Oscars. We'll talk about the Oscars today.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We've all got some takes on it on the show.
Right.
Sleepy Oscars.
Yes, very.
There was only one highlight for me.
Yeah.
We've got it now. It's my own personal highlight. I'm watching live TV, and I know it's on a 5 to 30-second delay, depending on about how paranoid the network is.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Bacall gets wheeled out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she is trying to read on a teleprompter, and it's about a minute seven, and it is the longest minute seven of all of our lives.
Yes. I think I'd said to you in the office, it seemed to me that perhaps at some point Ms. Bacall said, I don't need to wear my reading glasses.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting there thinking, at any second, they're going to send Jon Stewart out to help this broad.
To rescue her.
Yeah, this is
painful.
Anyway,
yeah, very.
This is the Oscar moment. Yeah. Oscar loves Lauren Bacall.
Thank you. Born in the 1940s, before the age of television, there was a style of film that audiences really loved.
Yes, honey.
They were black and white, with lots of shadows and low camera angles.
Still doing okay.
Called film noir, it was employed by some of the greatest directors of the time. Orson Welles, Otto Preminger, Billy Wilder, Howard Hawks, and John Huston.
Very good.
Are just a few of the innovators.
Oops.
Who gave us a classic look and feel that was... has influenced filmmakers of every generation.
What?
Their movies were
What?
Were a sharp breakthrough.
Oh, boy.
And break in style as well from the major studio pictures that preceded them.
What, honey?
Their themes of mystery, romance, danger, and cynicism gave us some of the most memorable characters and moments in the history of movies.
Bye!
Wow, yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was a reading deal, right?
It was
apparently. She couldn't read it. She couldn't see it.
Couldn't see the prompter.
I don't know.
Probably too much mascara on her eyes. I don't need my reading glasses. Go away. And when she walked out, she gave that kind of wave that was just like, oh, stop it.
Perhaps too many years.
Yeah. You think just a Phoebe issue?
Yeah.
Good morning.
I believe so. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don
Pre-show.
Mike.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Don and Mike Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Let me just say, the major babe of the night had to be Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, thank you. This is now Captain Obvious calling. Thank you, sir.
He's excited.
Thank you.
And rightly so.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. I'm still with Lily Tomlin for that one.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, if you want to go with Jessica Alba, that's your choice, but I'm saying Lily Tomlin, you know.
Dame Lily.
Dame Lily Tomlin. Man, what a dame. What a broad.
You're the winner there.
Did I win?
I'm trying to
Did I win right away?
I'm trying to think of anybody
game
else.
Game, set, and match for me with Lily Tomlin. Hard to top.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, hold on. Here is a cheap promotional announcement.
Ah.
Frank wants this read, right?
Yeah, he said please.
Please. Frank Caliendo.
Oh.
Will be on the David Letterman show tonight at 11:35 on CBS.
Ooh, very good.
This is a rerun of when he went on and did his John Madden and
great.
Just Killed.
Good show.
So Frank gave Rob a call today to say, hey, if you wouldn't mind plugging that. Of course we wouldn't.
Frank Caliendo. Mad TV, a great TV show.
Frank Caliendo is great. And as I remember the Letterman show that's going to be rerun tonight, all Letterman does the entire show is talk about how they got a guy who sounds just like John Madden, and all he wants him to do is come out and talk like John Madden and then get off the stage.
So the whole show is great, as I recall.
It's a lot of pressure on Frank Caliendo, but he does very well. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Howdy, fellas. You know, one time I was listening, I was at George Mason University, and they had these speakers that would come and speak, and all the students can go listen, like Richard Dreyfuss, et cetera. Lauren Bacall was there one time. I went backstage to try to get her autograph and everything, and she had about six empty vodka tonic glasses in front of her, and like her agents or whoever next to her wouldn't even let you talk to her. Like, you ask her a question, they just pull you aside and do all of her speaking for her.
I am perfectly capable of reading the teleprompter.
Let me just say, that's a legend.
A legend.
Although we learned in the meeting the other day that doesn't really matter.
No, of course not. But that was a caller saying that. But, you know, what are we going to do? Tell him to go away?
I think Lauren Bacall is simply becoming very presidential.
Mm-hmm. Long in the tooth?
Mm-hmm. She's becoming very presidential.
I got you. Yeah, trees, books.
Bedtime.
Oh, you think so? Mm-hmm.
Bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I believe that. Of course, you know me. That's what I think with anybody over the age.
Of 40.
Well, Mike, it used to be 40 until I turned 40.
Oh, yeah. Now 50.
Now it's now that I realize 50 is coming a little sooner, it's double nickel.
Oh, okay, 55.
Anytime you get that...
you're over the age of 55.
Well, actually, Buzz, when did you get, in all seriousness, when did you get your AARP thing?
Oh, my God, you can actually get them when you turn 50. But if you're married to someone who's over 50 and they're a member, then you're automatically a member. So I've actually been a member since I was 25.
You're doing some odd math on your marriage there.
Congratulations. I could be the medication. I don't know.
Very good.
Congratulations.
Oh, and Buzz is here under duress today.
Yeah, no, not really.
He's under a dress today.
Well, that's true.
He is, I'm kidding. He's here. He's not feeling good. We all wanted to know in the office, and we didn't want to ask.
Oh, you should.
When we were asking what? About how you're feeling.
I'll answer anything.
What is the percentage of you feeling good today?
Well, thanks to the medication, I'm going to say 99%.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, man.
Yeah. And we'll just tell you...
I'm not sick, and I'm only about 70.
I'll tell you that Buzz has gone off the charts as far as dealing with this.
Right.
He's gone into his private stash of various medications.
He's gone into that special room he has down in his root cellar. His special farm room.
The private
And
stock.
I'm not talking about the kind of farming that you do out in the Midwest. I'm talking pharmaceutical room.
Mm-hmm. Like a wine cellar.
Yeah.
And you open it up, but instead of bottles of wine, it has, like, in essence, giant spice wheels, you know, spice racks.
Yeah, with different prescriptions on it.
And just pills. And you go in there, it's fantastic. He's got the wheel of Percocet. He's got the wheel of Vicodin.
And you pull that false wall to the side where it looks like a spice rack, as Don says, and there behind it is a full functioning meth lab.
And people don't know this, but
amazing.
2002 was a great year for Percocet.
Yes.
It was some of their best work, really.
It still has its potency. See, I thought the prescription narcotics lose their potency.
No, if you take enough of them, they're fine.
So you just take more?
Yeah.
To compensate for the freshness, Dave?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, Buzz has got the flu and took a pill that you would give a horse that you were going to put down.
Exactly.
A horse that you felt fondly for.
That you wanted to calm down before you leading it to the glue factory.
That's right, before you're going to, put the animal down. That's what Buzz took today.
You'll notice Buzz is extremely relaxed today.
Yeah.
Very relaxed.
But he's balanced that out with how many Excedrin?
Just before the show, I took 3 Excedrin. So I figure the caffeine in that will sort of prop me up artificially for the next 4 hours.
So you've got both the tranquilizer from the horse caffeine.
Just like Elvis.
Wow.
Something to calm you down, something to pep you up.
I, for one, am looking forward to the news today.
You're my hero. You're my hero, Buzz.
We'll see.
And last thing here before we officially start the show.
Yes.
And lots of weekend to get to. And Mike, I think, based on what we've talked about, I'm even going to give up the opening position here.
You think I've earned the opening position with my weekend activities?
I got some weekend stuff involving, dogs and people. And
Gail and Bill.
Yeah, but I don't think anything that's going to tap you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mike went to Atlantic City this weekend.
Baby!
That's right.
Atlantic City! Calling my name. Hello, I'm back. Stupid Hump is back.
Oh, no.
Stupid Hump is back.
But Feist.
Stands with an empty wallet is back. That's my Indian name.
Feist, a star of tomorrow today.
Oh, yes.
Good. We're going to be talking about this lady later in the show.
Oh, already?
No, of course. Are you kidding?
Well, it's gonna hit.
Like I can keep this in my pants?
You're going to love it.
A star of tomorrow today.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about her in depth later. We'll have her on the show at some point.
Okay.
She's the latest, hottest export from... I always get them mixed up.
She is from Tokyo, but lives, I think, in Newfoundland?
Okay, from Tokyo.
From Newfoundland via... From Tokyo via Newfoundland.
Her name is Wing.
All right.
Dig it. Star of tomorrow today.
Why did you tease us like that? Play more. I'm hearing a hit record.
I just want you to know, before you think this is like some dumb parody we put together in the other room, negative.
Good.
She's real. She's a star of tomorrow today.
Good.
We'll have her on the show this week.
That's all you're going to give us?
Oh, no, I'll play a little bit more.
Okay.
Did we put her picture on the website?
I think it's already up. Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, would you go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com? And click on today's big steaming log.
All right.
It is March 6th.
Yes, it is.
She's lovely. Oh, I thought you were there already.
No,
yes,
there,
it is.
There are a couple of layers
Thank
to get
you
through before
for the confirmation.
No, it's not up.
It's not up yet.
It's not up.
Doc's here. Doc's not here.
Okay. Under construction.
But she looks as you would imagine.
Yeah.
She looks a little Yoko-like.
Oh, my.
I picture... Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, ass.
I'm sorry.
God.
Oh, what do you spoil?
God.
The obsessive compulsive brothers have alarms for everything.
Oh, that. Yeah, that.
I mean to, all right?
You're great.
Monday.
It's an accident.
I don't care. That's unexcused.
That's an unexcused alarm violation?
You know what that is?
I want you to send me to jail.
That's offside.
Uh-huh.
First and goal at the 1.
Hey, you know what? I still think we're going to score this show. Don, I think we're going to put one in the end zone. I really do. I think my teammates are going to pick me up.
There's a real similarity right there.
I don't know if we've ever let it go this far.
No. Where's the off switch?
Click, click, click.
Ah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Stop it. Watch it with that.
I will. I'll be more careful next
Not
time.
Not to be confused, she's much hotter than that person that sets off the alarm.
Oh, good.
Better body.
Anyway, here you go. It's just a snippet. She's got an album.
Mm-hmm.
She's real. Her name is Wing.
Mm-hmm.
We've discovered her. You will love her. This is just part of Back in Black.
Sounds like your sister Thigh. I can't wait.
Just a tease. Sorry, it's a tease.
You are a tease.
So we didn't even get to hear whether there was a hook.
There is.
No good.
I'm sure
she walked right over it if it was a hook. She seems to be slightly rhythmically challenged.
No.
But it was perfect.
No, she's good, Mike.
She's good?
She's good.
See, sometimes I don't hear that.
It's all good.
Tick to click.
You know what else was good?
Who?
What?
It's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
A large man. What a tender... touching acceptance speech that was.
I thought that was better than just about any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Better than what's her name? Walk the line.
She was pretty. She has always been completely prepared and controlled and boring.
She's like Miss Congeniality, red, yep. white, and blue. Miss. What's the name of the?
Red, white, and blonde.
Red, white, and blonde.
Legally blonde.
That's the whole thing. She's like, oh, I can't believe this would happen to me. This is all so perfect.
No, they're without any real emotion, which is weird. And my mom and dad were nice when I made my bed. You know, shut up.
Yeah, very boring.
Nobody really went crazy. You know.
No. Sleepy show, like you said.
Very, very sleepy show.
No,
nobody had that raw emotion.
I tell you who went crazy.
Who?
The Coloreds.
I'm sorry.
Stop it. When the colored music
won.
Oh,
my God.
The musicians, yes.
Boy, those.
It's hard out there for a pimp. Right? Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
And here's the thing. You know what I know. As much as Rob, stop with the thumbs down.
Rob.
My phone rang.
Behave yourself.
Once Queen Latifah. And yeah, hey, the fix wasn't in on that. Huh? Once Queen Latifah announces it, mm-hmm. the phone rings immediately.
Right.
And he would pick it up. I did not pick it up.
Good for you, Nom.
But it's you.
I was upset.
I know you're very upset.
Where's the melody?
But you and I both know that that is the Motion Picture Association of America and their attempt to show that they are more than just a group of old white men and women who barricade themselves in their wine cellars in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, come on. I'm glad that it won, I mm-hmm. guess. But it's one of those things they throw out there.
Yeah. Seems like it could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to know that. They're right. Like going, okay, you know what no one would expect?
Mm-hmm.
First off, and now I'm just picturing all of the voters, predominantly white,
mm-hmm.
predominantly old,
mm-hmm.
Who don't even go to the movies, who get them sent on Betamax tapes
right.
to their old Wayne Mansion, stately Wayne Mansion. You know, it's like, or like Smithers.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Manor.
Yeah. You know, oh, I don't know, Song of the Year, you've got Dolly Parton.
Smithers, why don't we throw a monkey wrench into the equation?
And you've got that other chick, and you've got that rap.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this might be our opportunity to finally act like we know what's going on.
Smithers, I believe most of these other songs generally suck. Let's give it to the rappers.
I haven't voted for anyone black yet. I can correct that now.
Excellent idea. Excellent notion.
And then you come down to really what matters when you get down to Best Picture, because that's when the predominantly white, older voting, the entire body of them gets together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I picture them all in a Knights of Columbus hall,
mm-hmm.
where they go, all right, hey Rob, can you give me just a little reverb here,
yeah. uh-huh.
just real touch. Fast,
Knights of Columbus size,
just a little bit. Like with
all in one room together,
right? Come on, here we go. Thank you. Hello? Hi. This is Ron Silver. A lot of you know me from my work.
Ron Silver, good pull on that one.
A lot of you know me from my work way back as far as the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And anyway, I've been in a lot of movies. A proud member of the association. We have two ways that we can go this year. And we're doing this in a town hall type session. We have two ways we can go. We can either give it to the gays, mm-hmm. or we can give it to the movie that deals with race.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. These are topics that I know none of us feel comfortable with. I think that we all would feel much more comfortable if there were no races and if there were no gays in the world. But frankly, we've got to choose one or the other. This is the year we've got to do it. God knows, I think we're all agreed, we cannot have Capote win Best Picture. Am I right about this?
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely, Ron.
Right.
Now, if we could just put it to a quick vote, because I've got an upcoming appearance on Judging Amy that I've got to get right to. Again, the motion pictures are Brokeback Mountain, The Faggot Picture, or Crash, The Colored Picture. We've got to pick the lesser of two evils. All those in favor of Brokeback Mountain? All those in favor of Crash?
Crash has it.
Unanimous. Unanimous.
Crash carries the day.
Unanimous. This has been a groundbreaking evening for the Academy. We are going to be receiving some of the best publicity around the world that we've ever received. People will actually think that we are diversified, yet we will continue to sit in silence. All of us, white, old, and loving old Hollywood.
Old Hollywood. Now here's some clips.
Well, yeah, always.
Here are some clips for you.
And we will have Bacall on the show. Thank you.
But Ron!
Yes.
She can't read.
Doesn't matter. She's one of us. Old school. Not the young guard. For God's sake. What's happened to our Academy Awards?
The Academy. Okay. Academy. Well, all in all, pretty damn dull.
Yeah.
Pretty dull.
And,
nobody did anything weird. Nobody looked like they were loaded. Nobody looked like they had any real fun.
Hold on, we're getting all kinds of wing stuff now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Just calling to let you know, about a year ago, South Park had wing on an episode.
Oh, well, now here I am thinking that we're discovering some new fantastic talent that
I
just came our way.
I thought we were groundbreaking.
That's okay. That's all right. But remember, that's cartoon wing.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about real wing.
That didn't really get a career off the ground the way this will.
And John has sent me, and it's a message. A lot of people have Googled. A lot of her songs, I guess, are out there.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell now, she does not do American radio interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am not aware that she was featured on South Park.
Wing.
What I'm going to say I'm sorry for. That's
a cartoon.
But it's not real.
Right.
Was she ever with Paul McCartney?
No, that's plural, Rob.
Wings. Oh,
okay. Wings.
What did she do on South Park?
They actually had her. She was. They did a thing about talent agencies. And it was American Idol episode.
One of those.
Ever go on American
good story.
Idol.
Okay,
all right, thank you, my friend.
Now I certainly know what was going on.
Thank you.
Wonder who watched South Park.
They did a thing.
Hello.
Yeah, you want to know what the demo for South Park is still?
Not a Mike Show. Hello.
I wonder if you guys know those the black rappers that were up on stages. Their name is B6 Mafia. You may know them from such song as Sipping on Some Scissor and Where Is...
And the other thing that I love that Whitey made them do was change the word bitch to witch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
That sounded
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks, Jack Valenti.
Hey, he's not the
enemy guy. They got another guy that's
Dan Glickman is mm-hmm. the guy now.
Same difference.
From Wichita.
You love to see the movies on the big
true.
Screen.
He's from Wichita?
That's true. The head of the Motion Picture Association now.
How wonderful.
From that movie capital known as Wichita.
That's delightful.
Okay. Well, we got to start here. So before we do, just one more. Really, there were not a lot of great moments at the Oscars, but there was one that I think we can all agree was pretty touching.
And
The Oscar goes to Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote.
Wow, I'm in a category of some great, great, great actors. Fantastic actors. And I'm overwhelmed. My friends. I'd like to thank Bennett Miller and Danny Futterman, who I love. You know the Van Morrison song, I love, and he keeps repeating it like that. And I'd like to thank Tom Bernard and Michael Barker. Thank you so much. And my mom's name is Marilyn O'Connor, and she's here tonight. And I'd like, if you see her tonight, to congratulate her. Because she brought up four kids alone, and she deserves a congratulations for that. We're at the party, Ma, you know. She took me to my first play, and she stayed up with me and watched the NCAA Final Four. My passions, her passions became my passions, and be proud, Mom, because I'm proud of you, and we're here tonight, and it's so good. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
I didn't know you had that special audio track.
Emotional moment.
That's the one, the audio track we labeled Fleeting.
Fleeting. Right, yes. Yeah, turn your SAP channel, or your FAP channel.
Hey, they're here. Yeah. The singers are here.
Boy, am I in love. I think about
it's pretty good. Only 25 minutes after.
Yeah.
We're just starting now.
Everybody's got a laughing place. A laughing place.
Whoa-ho-ho! What about Lauren Bacall? Where's her laughing place at?
I don't know. Too many.
Oh, Lauren.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, 1 and 5, noon and 4. Check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello!
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 Hi there.
We're good. Hello.
Today's the Daz Band. Come on. Let it whip.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hello.
Wanna see you with the control. The lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
How's your Oscar? Mike, I was dancing old school for you.
I know.
I love watching
you dance.
How's your Bacall?
Benny Bacall? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Waddle Doodle and all the ships at sea. Official vocal coaches to Miss Lauren Bacall.
Yes.
Don Geronimo and her bartender, Mike O'Mara.
How do you do?
Yeah.
Mrs. Bacall.
And hi, everybody, and thank you for listening. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. There we go again with the bell. On this Monday. 03-06. Hot 6.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Oh, Buzz ain't retarded. You can call us. If you want to. From anywhere in America.
That sounded very interesting to me. You said that.
Well, that's much like, you know, I'm having a get together. Well, you know what it's like? It's like if you're having a party.
We'd love to have you. That's the way you would address, like, the neighbors that you don't want to come over.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, if you're having a party, you're
coming over if you want to. I don't care whether you show up or not. But
you're telling somebody about it, and somebody else walks in on it. And yeah, you too.
Come on over if you feel like it. Yeah. We're having a few people over. Sorry to give you such last-minute notice.
Call if you want.
Right or not.
877-365-3636. That's the main number. We also have a 1-800 number. 800-636-1067. And if you're lucky enough to be listening on Radio Titanic, WJFK, Washington, D.C. There you go. You can call us at 202-432-1067. We're also on the internet every day. We're finally being streamed. Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live, and you're going to get the stream.
Uh-huh.
Now,
That stream looks like too much weekend to me.
Mike, this is pure Capote.
Oh, my God. Look at that. I'm not tasting it.
It's our tribute to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Sure. Wait, it looks very, very yellow.
So you go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Actually, Mike, hold on a second.
Yes, oh, maybe more green. More green.
And some red.
Christmas tree.
It's a kaleidoscope is what it is.
Sure is.
The internet stream is there for you. DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. If you want to send us an email, just send us a goddamn email, okay?
Yeah.
At DonnaMikeWebsite.com. And we're also on iTunes for the podcast. Go to iTunes.com. And there you click on the Talk Radio.
Right.
And you'll find the show right there. Subscribe, and you can see the brand new podcast episode every day with Apple iPods.
Apple?
That's all the stuff.
Idol?
That's all of it.
Apple?
That's a lot.
Cider?
Here we go.
Help me.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 Hey, don't forget,
hello.
24 is on
at 8. La, la, la.
La, 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 la. Hold on, where's that one? Hello. La, la, la.
Hello.
Hello, la, la.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Hello there.
Hey, don't forget 24 is on at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
Just wanted to remind you guys, you didn't miss out.
No.
No.
I am a powerful radio executive by day, male prostitute by night. Duh.
Duh.
I'm wearing a little black dress.
That sounds hot.
Money. I'm a diaper enthusiast.
No, too stupid to play along with.
It's
not
working out.
You know what? I'd love to just give him the Barney Fife bye.
Right.
But not.
I know. For not participating.
See what you made us do.
Mm-hmm.
See what you made us
well,
do.
Well, see, at the beginning, he was really fooled. He thought he was being spoken to when it was a machine. A machine.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
How's it going?
Okay.
I want to know how you guys felt about Jon Stewart's hosting skills.
I was telling the guys in the office, I got a theory about this, really.
Okay.
And I'll be very serious with you.
All right.
I think Jon Stewart's very funny on The Daily Show.
Yeah, terrific show.
I thought he sucked last night.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought he sucked. Here's the thing. For something like the Oscars, I'm going to go way back. You got to have somebody like Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
you got to have somebody who can say stuff that's not going to really go over real big, but have a nice winning smile and have a personality. I mean, it's why...
Johnny wasn't a movie star, but he was kind of iconic because he was such a big name in Hollywood that I think that he had the clout to get up there and command that stage.
He had the charisma.
And same thing with Letterman. Did. I mean, Letterman had that same that same vibe, like, boy, I really don't fit here.
Not
and,
in my league. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't... I wanted Jon Stewart to do well.
Mm-hmm. He was okay. He just didn't, you're right, he didn't have a stage presence, and that was kind of a bummer. The audience didn't laugh at his jokes, and therefore he bombed.
Right. Well, and here's where I think he made one of his mistakes. Like, when he's making jokes about Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and he's making jokes about the people in the room,
mm-hmm.
which is okay to do.
Yeah, if,
you know,
to us.
If it's going to tank, why not address it? Why not, you know, what would the old thing about, you know, hey... Hello, is this on?
Yeah, right.
You know,
or how about a full-fledged meltdown, though? Like, this is funny stuff. What are you doing to me up here?
Jeez.
Yeah. Anything.
Don't hurt me.
Anything to make it
don't hurt me like that.
So, I don't know. I would give him, like, a C.
It's a tough gig.
It's
best.
Very, very, it's a very tough gig.
It must
better,
be.
Better than Whoopi Goldberg, but dare I say it, maybe not as good as Billy Crystal O'Shea.
Billy Crystal believes that he belongs up there.
Yeah.
Billy, hi.
Billy Crystal, everybody.
Oscar, Oscar, who will win?
Bye!
You know the melody.
Yeah, I remember that.
How could you forget?
Remember it was a suck test.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Hey, hello. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, very well, thanks.
Okay. I just wanted to call. I heard Don and Mike talking about Reese Witherspoon earlier.
You're on with us right now. You're here.
You're talking to us.
We're talking to you right now.
All right. How you doing?
Okay.
And I just wanted to know if you guys have seen her in the movie called Freeway. And she was actually like a wayward type of girl. And her mother was a prostitute. And Kiefer Sutherland played a
I ain't seen it.
Child molesting murderer, and she shot him. And it just gave me a different perspective on, you know, her personality.
I know. I saw Walk the Line this weekend. I finally saw it, and I thought she was pretty good in it. But
all right, thank you, my friend.
Bye!
She definitely has that squeaky clean. We were talking about the fact that there was no real emotion and the acceptance speeches. There was nobody that was misbehaving. There was nobody that was just making a fool out of themselves
because
they got so emotional.
But those douchebags with the Penguin movie.
Oh, God, the French guys.
Oh, bonjour. And hold on, the other thing is those two guys who won for the animated short. When they come up with their crazy bow ties.
Oh, yeah, Wallace and Gromit.
And they got the bow ties to put on the Oscars.
Yeah, which immediately says we knew we were going to win. It's like, F you.
Yeah. Of course.
That's what it was. You know, you're pointing out to those moments that just made it unbelievably predictable.
And Reese Witherspoon and everything from me is just so perfect.
Exactly.
Even though I'm barely talented enough really to act my way out of a paper bag, please reference Sweet Home Alabama or any of the movies where I carry around a little dog in a bag. I'm going to go to Washington and get things done, but gosh, I'm just the best thing out there right now. They keep throwing the contenders at me, but gosh, I keep winning, and goodie for me.
That's just
I can't add anything to that. That is the way I felt about her last night.
I am not
night.
A violent man.
No.
But I can see why Johnny Cash would have to hit June.
Oh, God.
I'm not alleging that happens.
I don't think that happened in the movie. I drifted on and off.
No, I don't know. I'm just making that up about Johnny Cash.
Hello.
Who knows? And for God's sake.
He did a lot of property damage. That was his thing. He did a lot of property
smashed
damage.
Up. And Reese Witherspoon's husband is just such a pussy.
Oh, he is.
I mean, she might as well be married to Nick Lachey. I mean, really.
What is his name, anyway?
Ryan Philippe.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Philippe. What does he do?
Basically, he's raised the kids.
Has he had any major movies that were smashes himself? I mean, he's been in a few things, right?
He was in Crash.
He was in Crash?
Small role in Crash.
Okay. Right.
And he was in...
Oh, come on, I was in Crash.
Well, I think we all were.
I mean, let's be honest.
Who wasn't?
Everybody was in Crash.
I liked Crash. I was glad Crash won.
So did I. I was kind of rooting for Matt Dillon, even though, you know, he's hard to get that... something about Mary picture out of your mind with him.
You and I have been Matt Dillon fans going way back. I mean, really, he is. But I like Matt Dillon. I really like Matt Dillon in the comedies. I like it when he's just the guy that's out of place, that he's a misfit, like he was in The Flamingo Kid.
In the beginning of Crash, he might as well have been Officer Spiewak.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there. Hello there, Don and Mike show. He made a lot of them. Yeah, Rob said I liked the first half of that.
Yeah, second half, it just, well, they went crazy.
What's going on? That second half of Crash. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, and Mike, hi.
I just wanted to tell you the reason that everything went so smooth is because Tom Hanks put that DVD out to tell everyone how to react.
Oh, did you see just a little clip of that DVD that we told you about that they sent to everybody in the Academy? We hope to have our hands on that this week as well.
Good.
Not funny.
Yeah.
Not funny.
And Tom Hanks. Yeah, here's Tom Hanks to show you how it's done.
Oh.
He's such a big winner.
Mr. Hollywood.
That's what it was all about. And a lot of predictability. And you know.
Has nobody bought him a mirror? Because he is still wearing the faggotiest of faggoty haircuts.
What did he play? Like, is the movie that he starred in, was it some sort of Prince Valiant role for
his,
that?
His hair looks like Dracula's cape.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, and Buzz. How are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. I'm calling from Sacramento, and, you know, we have really nothing to look forward here in Sacramento. So I want to know if your first class, A number one producer, has booked Julia to do her NCAA basketball picks.
Actually, I think this year we're going to have the boy do it, right?
Yeah, we're going to try with really? Robert, see if he has
Oh, Robert.
Practice.
If the boy is up to it, Robert is over three now.
Oh.
And let's face it, with Rob as his dad... Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a lot of athletics in that family.
Mm-hmm.
Not even watching it on TV. you know, except for football.
Right.
And even that, you know, at Rob's pace.
This is really, and the picks should be pointed out, not as much of a sports exercise as a theatrical exercise.
Yeah.
Can he pronounce the team, though? Because Julia did such an excellent job.
Yeah, we'll get him to do it. And remember, it's just it's a chance for Robert to know that, you know.
Sports exist.
Thank you, Rob.
Sports constantly. You watch golf, don't you, Rob?
We watch some golf. Bye!
Would that be the extent of it, though?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
Do you watch the NASCARs go round and round?
No. Hard. Rather take a nap. Oh, go around in circles again.
Yeah. Hello, Dynamite
Show. That sound.
Hello. Boy, Buzz, you are high.
No, I do. I was watching NASCAR last week in high def, and you know the car's whizzing by.
It was just an aside from him.
Yeah.
And I love your aside.
Thank you.
It just that was one that was just
out of character.
Love that sound.
Yeah,
love that sound.
Man, the sounds are so great when they have the cars go by the microphone.
Thank you.
Does that do it for you?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, they go from one side to the other.
You're a very happy man today.
Sure.
Hello. See, he just did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sure am.
Hello.
I have the flu.
Speak to us.
This is the Don and Mike Show for the last and final time.
Bye!
Huh.
Right. Too bad. Come on now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Great show today.
Hey. Well, how do you know?
Because I've listened to a few minutes of it, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Oh, it's still teetering on the edge.
I don't know.
It could go bad at any moment.
I think he's right.
It could go Jon Stewart on us at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Well, last night at 3-6 Mafia, during their little performance, did you notice one of the greatest stars of the 80s was in that little dance number they put on there?
Who's that?
Everyone's favorite from Electric Boogaloo, Shabba Doo.
Does anybody know what the frick this guy's talking about?
No,
Shabba-Doo. Come on, Electric Boogaloo.
No.
No one here.
Nobody knows.
There were a lot of people on stage during that segment.
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know.
Little guy, there's this...
Shabba-Doo. Bye, Shabba-Doo. Shabba-Doo, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Shabba-Doo.
How about the guy in the green suit?
Oh, Stiller? Ben Stiller?
Yeah, there's an original. There's an original act.
Now,
there's Ben Stiller doing what he, you know, not only has he done it in his last 10 movies, but he's, you know, he does it on stage.
Okay, I'm going to do a flip-flop on you.
I'm Ben Stiller in another tight spandex outfit being funny.
I thought the Ben Stiller bit, conceptually, was very funny, and that it flopped because all of the tight asses in the audience refused to play along. I mean,
nobody wanted to laugh. Did you see? They did a few cutaways to Charlize Theron, and she's like, she almost looked like she was going to puke.
I was going to mention, so he's doing this thing where he's pretending that he's holding something up in the air, and obviously he's being chroma keyed, and no one's laughing. And they're even showing shots of the monitors to the audience, and they can see that he's not like a weatherman in front of a weather map. And the other thing, you talk about a lack of having a sense of humor. I don't know what it was at the very, very beginning of the show. Jon Stewart had some dumb throwaway joke about it. Not even Steven Spielberg likes that.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to Steven Spielberg in the crowd, and he says seriously to his wife, he goes, "Oh, I don't like that."
I know.
I mean, I don't know the exact circumstances.
Everybody
but
was
I'm
way
the,
too controlled.
I'm giving you the gist of that.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about Ben Stiller is I've seen that act. That's the same. I mean, it's the same thing. I would have laughed. If they got Steve Carell to do it, I would have laughed more.
I stand behind it. I think it was a funny bit, and I think that all the tight asses just didn't help him out. Because at least Ben Stiller went all the way with it.
He tried. He did go all the way with it. It just, that's what he does. That's his, that type of bit, he seems to have done it a lot.
Well, I thought it was funny. It was certainly funnier than...
the rest of the evening.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank you, Buzz. The rest of the evening.
Right.
And even when they did the...
Lauren McCall was funny.
Well, when they did, like, the Daily Show stuff, when they did, like, the fake ads, one...
Yeah, where they're lobbying for the Oscar, right.
One against the other.
And I love the Daily Show. Daily Show's a great show, but it was just a... It didn't translate, especially, I think it was Tom Shales that wrote, after that much time, it didn't translate. You know, you had so much time to work on this.
with his team of writers, I would have thought they would have been a little bit more on.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, that's the Oscars.
Next year, I hope for a little more unpredictable stuff. You know,
this is the only good thing besides Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Born in the 1940s, before the age of television, there was a style of film that audiences really loved.
All right, Mike and I will be in the control room now.
Okay, very good.
We will be playing the role of the directors talking to each other about this shot. Okay?
All right.
There we go. And cue Lauren, take one.
Thank you. Born in the 1940s, before the age of television, there was a style of film that audiences really loved.
Did she see the prompter?
They were black and white.
Yes.
With lots of shadows and low camera angles.
She's having trouble, Don.
Mike,
called
she's doing
film
fine.
Noir.
She's doing fine.
It was employed by some of the greatest directors of the time.
Okay.
Orson Welles.
Listen to her now.
Otto Preminger, Billy Wilder.
She can't see it.
Howard Hawks and John Huston.
Stay on it.
Are just
camera
a few of the innovators who gave us a classic look and feel.
Slow the prompter
that
down.
Was has influenced.
Slow the prompter down. All right, get John Stewart out there. Get John Stewart on the phone now.
Well,
on
the walkie-talkie. Stewart, where is he?
Their movies were.
We're going to have to save her. She
were
can't.
Top breakthrough.
She can't read it.
Break in style.
She was supposed to announce
well,
Best Actor.
Where is John Stewart?
Major studio.
Somebody get out. Get this the frig off the air. Help her, please. For the love of God, she's done.
Go to black.
No, we can't go to black. Can't go to black. Cut to number three. Where is Stewart?
Gave us some of the most memorable characters and moments in the history of movies.
Roll tape!
Roll tape! Roll tape!
Jesus! Get her off the stage! Get her off the goddamn stage! Miss McCall? Miss McCall!
We've lost her. If we pick the Oscars, by Siskel and Ebert.
Wow. Wow.
And Roger Ebert, not too annoying either. I watched part of the Siskel and whatever the other guy's name is.
Ebert and Roper, or Roper
right.
And Ebert, whatever it is.
Their Oscar special over the weekend. TiVo got that for me. And I know Roger Ebert has come back from whatever ailment it is that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had a FMD, fat man disease.
Right.
He's got that... like stroke thing.
Unfortunately,
happening.
He's still talking like this. And it's very frustrating to understand what he's saying. But if I pick the Oscars, we'll be right back. If we pick the Oscars, we're Siskel. I'm sorry. I'm not Siskel.
Yep. That's it.
Roper. Ebert and Roper.
That's it. And even though I know that...
I like Crash. I think Crash has got a very good chance of succeeding. But we really do. When we come back, we're going to talk about our Best Supporting Actress nominations. Ebert and Roper, if we've been the Oscars.
Yes, we are.
When we come back, Ebert and Roper, we'll see if my head can stay supported on this neck. What's left of my neck? I like Soul Plane. In fact, I never do. Ebert and Roper, if we pick... Here we go. Looking forward to this great... I like Crash.
Say what you will.
Hey, I'm the other guy.
Crash is my pick. You're not allowed to speak as much as I am,
Roper.
I'm going on Regis and Kelly.
I'm just biding my time.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Until the Siskel and Ebert curse takes over.
Shouldn't be
I have a tough time. You're biding your time. I have a tough time biding through solid food.
And then this empire shall be mine because I'm the other guy. I'm what's my name again?
Roper.
Roper.
If you're Roper.
I'm Roper.
Now I'm going to kick off my penny loafer, and if you look down, you'll notice that my foot is a reddish purple color.
Oh,
I haven't been healthy in 37 years.
He's got a great agent.
But I still like to be in the balcony. The balcony is closed and covered with bile. If we pick the Oscars,
and I'm what's his name again?
You're Roper.
Roper.
I picked Crash.
I don't know.
That's my pick for Best Picture, Crash.
You got to say it with a little more stroke, though.
Okay. You want more stroke?
A little more.
I'm Roger Ebert. My big pick for the Best Picture this year is Crash. I survive on a diet of canned soup and fritters. Do you like a sip of my canned soup? I'm Roger Ebert.
The whole thing with more stroke from I'm Roger Ebert and I pick.
I'm Roger Ebert. If I pick the Oscars, Fresh is my big pick to click.
You're still giving him too much.
Wait. Fresh.
Okay.
You want me to totally be?
Okay.
My name is Roger Ebert.
Okay, that's really...
I'm going to pick the Oscar. This is not a lazy eye. Fresh. For best actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Freaky. Here we go. Whoops, my boxers get a thumbs down right now. Don't go near those. Listen, it's time for a quick change. We'll be back if we pick the Oscars. I will be slipping out of these boxers into some fresh ones. And after a quick sponge bath, we'll be back with our picks for Best Supporting Actor.
You are much too kind in your parroting.
Best Actor in a Supporting Role. Well, thank you, Don. I'll try to be more free next time.
You are much too kind.
Crash.
Although that's what you do have. Because I've seen it, I guess... He made big publicity. He announced just about everywhere last week. Roger Ebert did.
That was my pick for the upset was Crash. I thought that they would. Everyone's picking Brokeback Mountain. I went against the grain of people that pick Brokeback Mountain and pick Crash. Tell Joe Coyne time to settle up. I can see the end.
See, we have the same agent as Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Call Elliot Ephraim. Tell him I've got to get my effects in order.
Okay.
My things in order. If we pick the Oscars, looking forward to it. I think John Stewart did a good job.
Oh, we got stuff to talk about. WJFK Iceberg Time. 10 till 4. My God, 10 till 4 here in D.C. Don't forget. You know, even though we know you don't listen to the station, except when our show is on. Please remember, you are listening to Don and Mike on 106.7 Titanic Radio.
For me, it's not an Oscar if Denzel Washington's not nominated.
Who are you selecting?
Crash! Take a look at the big giant Titanic cruising along WJAK's wildy waters.
Have we mentioned that all we ask is to be your number one button?
That's right. Press the number one button. Make sure Dan and Mike get a button. That's what I want them to do.
Uh-huh.
And their news band's under serious medication today. Crash. Just like the good ship WJFK crashing into that iceberg.
We'll be right back, Raj.
But for now, the balcony is closed.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Frank in Manhattan. 9/11, a national holiday. What do you think, Frank?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
What do you think? What do you think, Frank?
Is this me?
That's you. Go right ahead.
Oh, so I actually have never called a radio show before. This sounds interesting.
Well, here's what we do. First-time callers don't wait. If you're a first-time caller, I don't make you wait. I put you right on the air.
Oh, thanks. I've never called a radio show before, but I like listening to the interaction between people and the show hosts and hearing other people's opinions. And you're filling a void. And speaking of filling a void, how long do you think it'll be before the Don and Mike Show are back on in New York City?
I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath for that, Frank.
Why do you suppose that would be?
I don't know. Don't they have some sort of contest where if, like, you can call me and say their names, you get a prize? Is that the deal here?
No, actually, it's not that at all. It's if I...
Very good. Don and Mike. Oh, God. I hope he gets a prize, though.
The Don and Mike Show. Okay.
Prize of a lifetime.
They are very well spoken, Don and Mike.
Yeah, the prizes are our never-ending love.
In the morning light.
You can play a pair of blue jeans.
That's right. I got balls.
I'll play David Dundas. Or is it Dundas?
Or Dumas?
Yes, David Dumas. I was,
remember this.
Yeah, it was a commercial. Or it was a song that became a commercial. When Dumas was said to me recently.
I was thinking, you know, you did that last week. I think you probably did it the week before. You've done it on and off for a long time, but... I was thinking about that. Really was. I love that. I don't know.
And I'm trying to think about it too. And over the weekend it came to me.
Yes, Mr. Dumas.
Dumas, you know, dumbass.
Right.
Now I'm trying to think. Where have I heard this before? I mean, at first I thought it was a guy I knew with the name, and now I know. Mike, venture back with me to the time. Let me answer these questions three about Star Trek: The Next Generation. on the Klingon planet, the Klingon home world, when Worf went back to reclaim...
And now don't call me and tell me I'm getting all of the details here.
The general idea. Yeah.
But when he went back to restore his good family name...
Right.
I believe the family that was in control of the Klingon Empire was the Dumas family.
Could have been.
Maybe somebody out there with a knowledge of Star Trek TNG can tell me, but I am more than sure.
Thank you, Mr. Dumas.
That the Klingon Empire at one point was run by the dumbasses.
Right, exactly.
Okay. You know what? I'm fly through my weekend, which leads right to your weekend.
Okay.
You know, I said we do it the other way, but I think you need more time.
I may need a little time today. I there was an awful lot that went on.
And I can fly through mine. My weekend started on Saturday morning with a call from Mike, and I will go. I'll end my little recap of the weekend with that.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Just a couple of bullet points for you this weekend. When I got home Friday night, I did have a message from George McFly.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
I wish I would have saved it. I hit the wrong button.
Mm.
He was ecstatic, out of his mind, like high on goofballs.
Yeah, he had a very brief visit the last time we had him on the air. This time we gave him a good chunk of time.
That I guess, you know, I forget all the time that actually we are still syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
On and they counted now 29 stations.
Ah.
I keep forgetting that there are some places where people actually do listen to us on the radio and support us on the radio. And as it turns out, Colorado Springs, Colorado,
right,
is one of those towns.
Hmm.
So I guess George got a call from his PD at his new radio station.
Good.
Saying, you know, something along the lines of, way to get the publicity from those guys.
Thanks for the good pub, man.
Way to suck those guys in it. So anyway, you know, we will now be doing battle mano a mano.
We're competing against him.
Right. We're on from 1 to 5, and he's like on from 2 to 6.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so that's...
no mercy.
That's the latest of George McFly.
No mercy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Yes, you are correct, sir. The name is Dumas. The reason he went back there to restore his good name was because Dumas was the one who actually was the one who caused Worf's father.
Yeah, that was,
here we go.
Too much information.
And it's always that way. They start out like this. Hey, Don, this is exactly what it was. Worf went back to the planet because Worf was...
hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hi, boys.
Hi there.
This is your Joe's Rolling Stone buddy, Doug. Wanted to say thanks, and I think it was the Duras family, and I hate to admit that I actually know this, but...
No, I think it's, you know, boy, this is almost worth like a DJ bet. I think it's Dumas. I don't think it's Duras. I would almost bet you the fact that, well, you should have been immediately dropped as a caller since you identified yourself with a kind of a nickname.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I am going back to Whoreville right this second. But anyway, I love the show. Have a good day, boys.
I stand by it.
All right.
I stand by it.
And at 46, though, I still enjoy people calling us boys.
I might be wrong. I think it is the Dumas family.
Yeah.
Anybody out there listening?
Welcome back to your home planet, Mr. Dumas.
You've got the Star Trek on either video or DVD.
Shouldn't it be in some nerd book somewhere, too? Won't it be in some collection,
yes,
of facts about...
thank you, Mike.
You know, like in that dictionary or that language dictionary of Klingon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen, I hate to disagree. It is Duras, though.
Duras.
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 D-U-R-A-S-S. Are you making this call under Duras?
Now, hold on a second.
Yes. Here's under Duras.
There's someone who says it's not Duras. Dave.
Huh.
Yes.
What is it?
It's a Duras family. D-U-R-O-S.
Now, hold on a second.
That's Duras.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of disagreement about that.
Well, what the hell is the name? Is this a family or a planet?
Bye. The family. He's going back to his home planet, and the Duras family is in control of it?
Well, it's just as funny to think of it as Dumas.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry I brought
Actually
it up.
Actually funnier.
Just forget I brought it up. Like I said, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was another guy I knew, Mr. Dumas. I don't know.
You know what I think? And I don't know. I didn't come up with it. I didn't use it for this show. I think it comes from a movie. I think it might have been used in a movie.
Dumas?
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Rob, doesn't it sound like it could be in a movie?
Yes, it does.
Hello, in something like American Graffiti, though.
Something like a Chevy Chase movie.
Or maybe something like that Ralphie would say to Potsy.
Right.
Hey, come on, you Dumas.
Hey, stop being a Dumas.
Hey, sit on it. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
There's a famous old blooper from the old Jeopardy, pre-Alex Trebek, where the question was, who wrote The Three Musketeers? The answer is Alexandre Dumas, but the woman answered and said, Alexander Dumas.
And that's actually on the blooper reel?
Yeah.
It will not be on our blooper reel.
Yeah.
Bye!
I guarantee bye-bye. Funnier than he translated it.
Uh-huh.
That's the old nude Jeopardy.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Dumas.
That's when Art Fleming used to do the show completely naked.
All right, enough on that topic. Forget that I brought that up.
Okay.
My dog, Colonel Clank. Not my dog, Blue. My dog, Colonel Clank.
Your troublesome dog.
Now, he gave me some problems this weekend.
Mm.
You remember last weekend I was out of town, went to see my daughter and the grandkids.
Right.
Had a person staying at the house who brought her own dog to house sit. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, Clink bit this dog's eyeball out virtually.
Wow.
Saturday morning, I got up by usual time early.
You know what Clink said before he popped that other dog's eye out?
What's that?
Don't make me be a bad guy.
Charlie M.
Charlie M!
So Saturday morning, wake up at my usual time at 6:15. Go down, let the dogs out, then go up. Have a nice, leisurely, time on the commode. And while I'm sitting up there doing what I'm doing, I hear the doorbell ringing. Uh-oh. And now it's 6:15, 6:20 on Saturday morning.
Wow. It's kind of early for visitors.
As it turns out, it's one of my neighbors. A very nice guy, a good friend, who has a dog, a big dog, that Colonel Clink has known for 5 or 6 years. And this guy's kind of a fitness freak, and he gets up at the crack of dawn and goes out running. He wears like his Navy SEALs outfit. It's almost hard to see him. He's got like the nighttime goggles and stuff because he runs sometimes at 5 a.m. when there's no light outside.
Wow.
So anyway, he had, I guess, been running with his dog down by the end of my street, and according to him, and I have no reason to doubt him, my dog came up, and as if to say hello, they had a little playful banter, and then Clink bit a large portion of the dog's ear off.
Wow. Oh, this is number two.
Yeah.
So
I'm up on the crapper, and I get the, from downstairs, ding dong, and I go down, and it's my neighbor who is holding these two dogs, his dog and my dog, holding each of them by the collars, and he's a big, strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my little one, Max, is going crazy.
Yeah.
And he says to me, I don't even know what's going on here, but these two got in a fight, and look what happened, .
Is the other dog bleeding all over the place?
No, it was clean.
Oh, clean. Bit the thing clean off?
No, just bit the tip off.
Just the tip, but not a lot of blood.
No, we had to just a little bit. We took the dog to the emergency vet clinic, being as now I'm a regular there.
Yeah.
Or at least God, or at least my dog, the killer, is the regular there.
Do you think this has anything to do with when Clink maybe got a taste for flesh with the deer carcass?
No, they did.
Or maybe Clink is out there bringing those deers down.
Mm-hmm. They did do some blood work on him.
Those deers down.
He also, I've seen his eyes get cloudy. He's also got cataracts.
Okay.
And the vet said that he may be losing his vision, and this may be his way of flipping out about that. Plus, he is over 10 years old now. So, in buzz years, that means he's over 70.
Right. Right.
So he's, maybe getting ready to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's another embarrassing, Christ, drive to the emergency room.
Yeah. This is second. Hey, he may be long in the tooth, but, your dog Clink is holding his own, roughing up the other dogs.
So I take the neighbor and his dog while we're looking, and meanwhile I just leave, Clink in the backyard, and I take the neighbor and his dog, and we get his dog fixed, and they put a little bandage on the top, and the dog is, I guess, like the boxer that Mike Tyson bit the piece of the ear out of. I mean, that's just a piece of that dog's ear that's never coming back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Rename your dog Tyson.
So anyway, I said,
Tyson!
I said to my neighbor when I dropped him off, I said, well, that's what you get, Dumas. I'll see you later. No, I dropped him off and said, I will keep an eye on Clink. Now, I get home, and, I think, what am I going to do? Because when I get home, Clink is like his regular happy self.
Right.
He's like, hey, Dad, how are you? Where have you been gone for the last 2 hours? Gosh, I'm ready to play with my bone and chew with my bone. And I'm saying to him, why are you doing this to dogs? why are you doing this? So I called the regular vet place,
uh-huh.
brought him over. They gave him some injections. They gave him a couple of shots. They took his blood.
Right.
And then today I went and picked up his doggy Paxil.
Okay. Ah, his little antidepressant medication.
Calm him down a little bit.
So he's going to be on doggy Paxil.
I hope that works.
Well, for his sake, I hope it doesn't do to him what it did to me.
Well, I don't care. Mike, he's fixed.
Oh, he's fixed, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. It doesn't work. I have some Percocet.
He's totally fixed. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
You might want to, always nice reminder, make sure that cell phone's working when you call.
Hello, Dumas.
Look for the little bars.
One bar.
Hey, Mr. Dumas.
Bye!
Thanks for calling us on your bad phone, Mr. Dumas.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, the Dumas guy, he was from the Shawshank Redemption.
Was there a guy named Dumas in Shawshank Redemption?
What it was that when they were giving him the book, the guy read the book and he said, Alexander Dumas, and it was actually Dumas, and they started laughing at the guy.
Oh, all right.
Close okay, enough. That's a small all scene right. in the
Thank
Shawshank.
You, my friend.
Bye!
Thank you for taking the time.
appreciate that. Oh, he bumbled his line last night.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he can. He gets away with it. Yeah. He's Morgan Freeman. He's got that godlike quality of beloved.
And why was he dressed like Mr. Howell?
Because nobody F's with Morgan Freeman.
That's right. Morgan Freeman can dance, you know, to his own drummer. He can dress any way he wants.
I would have said, hey, Gramps, put on a tie.
All right, so let me see. I get I'm just trying to fly through my weekend here. I get the dog situation taken care of as much as I can.
It's right. kind of a stressful way to start your Saturday, yeah. I think.
And then I think, you know, I'm going to go to the movies on Saturday night. And I see, is there anything at all decent? Well, I'll go see the Bruce Willis movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, well, I don't want to go by myself like a loser, so I call, you know, the lady. That's not my girlfriend.
Right.
And again, smooth. That's me. Smooth. Like, hi, how are you? Fine. Tell her about Colonel Clink. Say, hey, I don't think it was you or your dog.
Right.
But apparently my dog is just going nuts now. He's losing his mind. I said, would you like to go to the movies? She said, sure. I said, great. And then I gave her all the rules. I'll meet you there.
Uh-huh.
The movie is at 7:30.
Right.
Why don't we meet at 7? It's perfectly okay for us to walk in together. I will buy your ticket. Under no circumstances will there be any hand-holding at all. You know, Mike, it's just...
No PDA.
It's just the personal... psychotic way that I am.
In case you're observed or anything like that, is that the reason
yeah,
for this?
Yeah, and not even that I'm that close with this person or anybody now where I would walk, you know, and make out with anybody.
Right.
Certainly,
you feel the need to verbalize it. You feel the need to say it.
And she doesn't need to hear it.
Right.
You know, she said okay.
She seems like she's a real good sport though.
No, she was fine. So we were in the movie, and
Dutch treat.
No, I bought.
You paid, okay.
I bought, although being a charmer, I couldn't help mentioning, you know, even though, you know, here was the best part. Got to the theater, I get the call from her, and she says, where are you? And I said, I'm right up front, where are you? She said, I'm like 5 miles away in the back of the parking, because the parking for this, like, is,
right.
What yeah. is it where they got 20 freaking theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So she said, I'm all the way in the back. And again, you know, Johnny Gallant, that's me.
Right.
I said, well, gosh, I'm cold. I'm going to go stand in the lobby and wait for you.
Right.
You know, I
as
guess.
As opposed to going together.
I guess what I should have done was say, I'll walk around and meet you halfway.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, then I get the call like 3 minutes later where she says, which way do I go? And I said, go to the front. She said, well, I've never been here. Which way? I said, follow the people. The people are going from all directions. Now, I didn't find out until after the movie that, goddamn, it was crowded. And,
right.
And where her car was, when I took her to her car, she did have to park way by Sam's Club. So
right.
I can understand why she was saying, hey, I'm not really sure how to get into this
kind
place.
Of turned around, big sprawling shopping center.
Yeah, so as she came walking up, I said, hi, okay, here we go. Now, remember, no touchy. I'll pay. I said, how about this?
That's first greeting. Hi, how are you? Thanks for coming. No touching.
We got in we got in line, and we ordered. I said, what would you like? She said, popcorn, diet. I said, same for me.
Uh-huh.
Two large, and... Then I was really just I don't know why it bothered me. I just looked at her for a second. I said, Jesus Christ. You know, if this was like a real date, I would be pissed. And she said, why? You know, thinking that it was something she had said. I said, $18.50 for the tickets and $21.50 for two large popcorns and one large and one medium Diet Coke. I said, that's 40 freaking bucks. I didn't say freaking. I said the F word.
Right.
She just kind of stood there. She said,
oh. At that point, did she nervously reach into her purse?
Yeah, she said, do you want me to pay some? And I said, no, I'm just angry about the price. And then Napoleon Dynamite said, you know, anything else? So then we went into the theater, and we sat down. Right as we're sitting down, I can't help myself. Where do you want to sit? I said, I like the aisle. We sit down. Now it's dark in there. And she said, are you going to take your coat off? No, I don't take my coat off in the movies. I like having my coat on. And she said, really? I don't even want to hold hands. I said, good, because we're not going to be holding hands. So as the movie started, she just pissed me off by like just touching me. Like just with one finger.
You got a Haitian. Was she working you a little bit?
Yes. I'm very intently. I'm watching this movie.
Touches your hands.
And it's
brushes
like,
your hands.
I look down. I go, what? Just nothing. I wasn't holding your hand. It was like, oh, this. And then I said to her, like, the third time that she did it, I said, okay.
What exactly was she doing?
Here's what she would do. Like this is my hand.
Yeah, your hand is on the and you're on the armrest.
Yes, my left hand is on the armrest. Mm-hmm. I would just feel from her right hand, one finger,
a single finger,
tap me right in the middle
of the back of your hand
of the back of my hand. That's all. And I try to say, hey, stop it.
You know, sure, rightly so.
And I actually gave her the shake off move. At one, it's like you got a bug on you. Like,
right.
Jesus, stop it. And then I said to her, don't stop this. We're going to be like the people that I hate in the movies that talk and everything. And we can't get everybody pissed off. So she was cool. And then, like, right on cue, there was a talker.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
There was a talker.
Always is.
And boy, oh boy, did I love that. Because as soon as that happened, I just turned to this woman and I gave her the eye and I said, now, I'm breaking the rule by talking, right, but I do it very quietly. I leaned in and I said, and without touching at all, I leaned in and I said, you see, people think I make this up, but Frieda would back me up on this, and now you know I can't go to a movie without a goddamn idiot running this. And there was a woman that was sitting two aisles away, who every time something happened, here was her sin. She repeated it verbatim.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
Bruce Willis would say, I've only got to go 15 blocks. She would say out loud, I've only got to go 15 blocks. Now, I didn't say anything.
Right.
It was beautiful. It was masterful. It was a woman. Celebrity she most resembled would be Aunt May from Spider-Man.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm talking about like old lady who had white hair in a bun sitting right in front of us. This woman is off to the right, and you're at a very tense moment in this movie. And this broad is just repeating everything. This very old, sweet lady
right.
gets up, moves over.
She with an old man?
She with an old man.
She's repeating it for him.
And, No, the old lady in front of me was with an old man. The woman doing the talking?
Solo.
She was like 23 or 24.
Oh, the talker was okay.
She looked like Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, okay. See, I thought the talker was an old person.
Oh. Now, what I'm saying is, there was a lady right in front of us. And at one, because everybody is just like giving this woman.
So she's one aisle closer to this talker than you are.
And everybody, I mean, people in the theater, I know you've been in the theater when they do this, they're physically turning around and looking at her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as if you can't feel, you know, 40 or 50 eyeballs on you at once.
You would think.
This dumb bitch just keeps talking. Well, at one point, it was the classic, don't open that door. Don't go in there. That this old grandma that was sitting in front of us, and she had to ask three people to move. She was four seats in. She said, excuse me. And I lean over and I go, oh, she's going to tell the manager.
now we're going to get somewhere.
Now, what she did was she walked right up to the lady. She leaned over, and all you see is an old grandma leaning over to this woman. And this woman starts to say something, and the grandma goes, and leans down and whispers again into the woman's ear, and then turns and walks away. And then I swear to God, the bitch gets up and leaves.
Oh,
good.
Wow.
She gets up and leaves. Good. Now, her boyfriend stays.
Good.
Good for him.
That's just, well, the old lady should get a medal.
Boyfriend stays.
So, so whatever she said was harsh enough where, well, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and I have no idea what it was. I know that when she came back and she sat down with what,
I have Tourette's.
What appeared to be her, I guess her son and, and his wife appeared to be, when she came back and sat down, when the talker got up and left, they all gave each other like little high fives.
Right,
like, you know, way to go, Mamo.
Good, enjoy the film. I mean, they put announcements on, for God's sake.
Way to go, Mamo.
Charlie Sheen tells me not
and,
to.
And, right. then, and then the only other thing from the weekend of noting is just what a scumbag I am that I went, as I do for about every month, out to visit Frida's grave. And normally I bring flowers. As it turns out, I didn't bring any yesterday. And it was windy, and I don't know. But anyway, I was there, and I was at her grave, and I realized I didn't have any flowers, and there were a bunch of flowers that people had put out at other graves, which had blown out of the permanent containers on either side of.
So they're kind of scattered around.
Yeah, and
well, that's not right.
And I know I must have just looked great to anybody who happened to be coming past that cemetery yesterday as I was. I mean, I must have walked like 30 plots.
But you're gathering the ones that have been blown away.
The scattered ones.
Yes.
I think that's okay. I think you get a free pass on that.
They're fake, you know.
I think they're plastic.
Yes.
You're okay. Helping everyone.
I think they're
you get plastic. A free, but in the it looked good when you were done with that. I think you can get it.
Looked aces.
Better. You weren't actually going to other grave sites and pulling them out of the thing, were you?
No.
All right. No.
You were just picking up the leaves.
He did.
Only
well,
one.
What the hell?
Only one.
Well, nobody's going to notice.
Only one. Here's the thing.
You're not going to have, like, the cemetery police come and crack down on you?
There's just one.
Especially you were there alone.
It was just one that had, like, 8,000. I mean, they had flags on it and animals on it.
That's too much.
And it just had this one big fake flower that I just thought
would look good.
Real nice, right in the middle of all the other.
Yeah, you made an arrangement.
Fake flowers, so I just.
The finishing touch.
What the hell?
You know, sure it was appreciated.
I crossed myself as if that matters.
The whole place looked better when you were done. It's much better. I'm sorry about this little crime, thank God.
I did the whole Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Terribly sorry, thank God.
Yeah, you're covered.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, what a crappy place to hang around to in Delhi. You want to get down? Go to a cemetery, and you know, I was there to reflect, as everybody is. Everybody's there for a different reason. But I did notice, the last thing that I'll mention about my weekend is that I noticed when I was done visiting Frida's grave, and I was going back to my car, that there are some people who, I guess, like, enjoy the sightseeing aspect of it. That here's the thing. I would notice people throughout the cemetery going to various plots and stopping to look at their loved ones. Okay, I get that. There's like four or five groups of people in the cemetery that are doing that. But then more than one car would just like continue like they were on the Wild Kingdom down at Disney World.
On the tour.
Where they're driving around. And actually, I saw one car, and at first I thought, this can't be what I'm thinking. They're not like sightseeing. But they are. There was a car that was driving around a man in it and a dog, and as they would go 20 feet, 30 feet, they'd stop. And you'd see them point like at a tall one and go, and he's taking pictures. And
wow.
And it was like they were on a tour.
Yeah. Well, the older people?
Yeah, of course.
See, they know. Maybe they know some people. Maybe they know more
people.
Well,
but see, here's the thing. There's no way they could know that many people. Yeah. They were sightseeing. And then there were other ones that as I was standing there doing my bit, that I would see people come in, and they would go, and they would do their bit, and then they would just kind of drive around and, you know, like, look at everybody else's setup.
That's interesting.
Maybe they were shopping.
Yeah, making plans. Or, like, the last time, or one of the last times you were there, maybe they were looking for a place to get jiggy with it.
Oh, get busy.
Like those kids that were there that one night.
Right on.
You were there in the dark.
Right on. Okay, so
getting
that's it.
Busy.
That's the weekend. Highlight of the weekend, though, really, was Saturday morning.
Oh.
The call from Mike.
I had no idea that you'd been up that long with all the dog stuff that you were dealing with.
Yep. About 8 o'clock, phone rings. It's Mike. Tells me the good news. Not only is he down in Atlantic City, not only has he lost virtually all of his money, but he's been awakened to, do I call it domestic?
A tremendous domestic disturbance.
Wow.
A screaming domestic disturbance, which followed the Friday night's domestic disturbance.
Mm.
In a room somewhere near ours, because I don't know what direction. It felt like it was coming from every direction.
Wow.
And I win the pussy award. Carla said, you should call security. I said, I don't want to because I'm scared. I weigh now 269 pounds.
Did you put a chair against the door?
And I'm a big guy. I can handle myself. The way this sounded, both with the females and the males involved, I was afraid to go out of my hotel room and deal with it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to deal with it. First of all, I didn't want to get up and get out of bed. But I figured the joint that I was in, I thought I wouldn't have something like this go down.
You would think.
Let's just get these bullet points out real fast, like when we were talking in the office. Okay, because you're telling me there's so many things about your weekend that went wrong.
All right, Friday night, these are the headings, okay?
These are just headings.
These are just the headings. All you will hear about Friday night at 2 a.m. I will label this domestic disturbance number one.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning wake-up call, serious domestic disturbance number two.
Number two.
You would think you'd get the real bad one at 2 a.m. No, the real bad one was 8 o'clock in the morning. All right. Saturday at 6 o'clock Eastern time, my falling in love with the band in my drunken haze.
Oh, dear.
10 p.m., dinner. After dinner, you know, a few more drinks with dinner.
Yeah.
Walking out, major celebrity sighting with contact and dialogue.
Wow.
And bedtime Saturday night.
Yeah.
Passing out while watching a pay-per-view movie.
What a day.
And due to my incredible winning streak, a 9 a.m. departure on Sunday. I normally stay through the day on Sunday when I go to AC. I normally stay through about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I had to leave. You know why I had to leave?
Why?
Nothing left to gamble. Atlantic City. F you.
Lucky be a lady. Now, I'll tell you that in the office before the show, Mike was telling me, and I said, keep it in your pants. Yeah. Tell me on the radio. He said that after he ran out of money, it strictly became alcohol-fueled.
After we ran out of money, we decided to go to the lounge.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably at about 5 o'clock.
On Saturday afternoon.
And as I walked, I'll tell you the whole thing.
Okay.
But as I walked in, I see that they were setting up because it's Atlantic City. You know, you don't have to wait till 10 o'clock at night for a band to come on.
Right.
They're setting up for the band to go on at 6 o'clock. And at that point, I said, we got an hour to get all ready for the music. And I did.
And
by the time the band got going.
You're like Jeff Spicoli hiring Van Halen to play his birthday party. Did you or did you not?
Let me say, by the time I stayed for three sets.
Uh-huh.
They played from 6 o'clock till 9:30.
What was the genre?
I stayed for the whole thing.
Wow.
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
And they looked like the Stones. They were old guys, and I love the old rockers. They were cats. They were guys that play. I love cats. The old guys that have been playing for a long time, and I fell in love.
Uh-huh.
I really, and then, and the more, and it went from having that new Heineken Light to Irish whiskey during the course of my afternoon. And by the end of the time I was in there, I said,
I think you guys are great. You're going to play at my birthday party.
Oh, that's nice.
I lost the business card, but it was, I was just overly...
That's the real Mike coming out.
Overly
right
enthusiastic. Not that I wouldn't love to go see him again. They were that good. I do remember that. I have a vague memory of that.
Okay, there was a lot that happened to you.
It was one of the more eventful trips to Atlantic City, but the streak continues.
Mm-hmm.
And the streak continues. There wasn't. I wasn't in that casino 10 minutes. I started. I never got a toehold. I never got a run. I never got back on track. I approached it like I was winning enough to where I was getting less down, but never beyond that. Never got to where I was up and I walk away, you're ahead. No. No, the whole weekend was spent playing catch-up ball. The whole effing weekend. Catch-up. Had a great time. I had, okay. You know what? I had the best time. I had the best time I've ever had losing as much as I lost.
Well, there you go.
Good.
That's the trade-off.
Seriously, I had a good. It was wonderful, and really having the presence of mind to get up and get out of there on Sunday was
that was smart.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay.
It was fantastic. And then I would describe the celebrity sighting as not. You'll have to make that determination. This is a B-League celebrity, but from a show that everybody in this room, you all know her.
Mm.
And you've all seen her, and I talked to her.
Wow.
And you approached her, right?
I definitely approached her. I have no choice. I was literally walking out, and she was walking out with me and my girlfriend.
And you were drunk.
I was, yes. Oh, yes.
Right, yeah.
I was not as drunk as I was when I was, because that was earlier. I kind of wound down, but drunk enough to have no hesitation with walking up to her, point blank, hand extended, and engage in conversation.
Hello!
Mm-hmm.
La la la.
Do you want a hint about the celebrity, or do you want me to come back?
Please, I'll take it.
Hello!
La la la.
Well, see, if I give you a hint, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I can give you a hint.
Is she hot?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's it. That's the hot that I. That's it. That's
she on TV?
Yeah.
Sitcom?
No.
So it wasn't Lisa Remedy?
No.
It was not.
No.
Okay.
Hot. That's good. That's all. That doesn't give it away, and that's good enough.
All right. Speaking of Lisa
Remedy. I'll give a further hint. My kind of hot.
Okay.
Look at you. Look at that look. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know what
what
means?
Is the nostrils flared, look like I'm going to get sick?
Mean?
No, I. You know
no,
what?
You
everybody
know, that
will
is...
be with me on this one.
Uh-huh. No, that means she's, you know, earthy. Is she all Summer Hayek-y? Y'all unibrowing?
No.
Y'all earthy?
You're killing me with
your,
that.
Your type.
Well, are you going to try to guess?
Is her first name Cloris?
Yes, Rob's got it. It was Cloris Leachman.
Wow. Okay, hold on. We'll come back and hear about this celebrity. And we love hearing about you losing money in Las Vegas, Atlantic City.
Oh, I didn't fill in the blanks on that. The losing is part of this story,
good.
Too. My knuckles still hurt a little bit.
Why do your knuckles hurt?
Hit a table when I finally was out.
See, this is my guy.
Uh-huh. Smashed a table with my fingers and just, I was so mad. So mad.
Sure.
Carla lets it roll off now because she's so used to it. She's so used to it and she doesn't take it personally. God bless her, she doesn't care because she knows that's me because it really isn't in any way directed at her.
Right.
It's directed at me. It's really directed at me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And until the Red Sox won the World Series, I used to go, I lose again. My teams never win. But I don't have to say that anymore.
No, you don't.
But I still, you know, hey, it's true what Robert De Niro says. In the end, they get it all.
They get it all. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hold on a second.
What a weekend it was in Atlantic City.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a little shocking to see all these big names here, these huge stars. The Oscars is really, I guess, the one night of the year where you could see all your favorite stars without having to donate any money to the Democratic Party. And it's exciting for the stars as well. This is the first time many of you have ever voted for a winner.
Oh, hey. All right.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Come drink their hair water. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's what I meant about Jon Stewart. Like, you know, have a comeback ready, dude. Don't just... I mean, I know you're poking fun at the establishment, but while they're all sitting there in front of you, have a comeback.
Yeah, usually the guys that do that, the writers get them like one and then maybe two more follow-ups, and they're kind of... They use them at their own discretion.
Anyway, that's...
Usually, I mean, that's...
Backup.
I hate to say it, God. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Why? Say it.
That's the way Billy Crystal would do it.
Yeah. Mike, what did
he would have three lines.
What did I say?
He would have three. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that...
An hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, of course, Billy Crystal...
Made me miss Billy Crystal.
Remember how he used to piss us off, though, when he'd talk about how much time he puts into it, how much preparation, and how much writing he does for it with his writers?
Now, don't you think that maybe he has a point?
I think you might be right. Who knows?
I think next year, I'm going way out on a limb.
All right.
How about Jim Nance?
Yes.
Jim Nance.
Excellent.
Writes comedy writers.
Guys.
Fantastic. I said in the office to you, if he wasn't a movie star in his own right, the guy to host it would be Clooney. I think Clooney has the star power to do it.
Hey, guys, even though, you know, I don't approve of homosexuality, Jim Nance.
Happy about Brokeback Mountain, guys.
Don't approve of it, though, guys.
Wonderful, good stuff we've got going here.
Race relations. That's a tough one. A little too hot for me.
How about that crash? Did you see the crash? You see the crash movie?
Hey, guys.
Did you enjoy that?
Jim Nance, welcome. I love the Penguin movie.
March of the Penguins, my personal choice.
Uh-huh.
And how about those wonderful Frenchmen bringing in the stuff to Penguins? It's a nice touch, wasn't it? The old boring Oscars. Yes, sirree. My best picture, hey, guys. Eight Below.
All right, Mike, tell us about, let's start with, you're losing all of your money on the first night.
All right.
Followed by domestic violence in Atlantic City.
You guys all saw me getting out of here. I was going straight from the radio station up to AC on a Friday night. Very, very excited. Really, really looking forward to it. Had a nice trip up there. Uneventful trip. Made good time. Got there. And immediately Yes.
You just say, very jealous I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yoda speak. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Jealous I am.
You know, we're all walking out of the building on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's chick is there. She's ready to switch cars.
Right.
She's going to do the driving.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just sit back.
Yeah.
Put your feet up.
Yep.
That's nice.
It was nice. I did a little driving, not a lot of driving. I did a little bit, but it was great. We made good time. Got up there, checked into the hotel. Got everything situated, and then bingo. We're there early enough where we're gonna zip down and do some gambling. And it didn't take me 5 seconds to start hemorrhaging. And remember that stupid gambling that I told you I wasn't going to do? I did it. I did it.
Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I did the Wheel of Fortune. I did all the slot machines and lost my ass. I really did. Immediately, very quickly, and quickly, not only did I lose quickly, but I thought that I'm going to get back quickly. I'm going to get back as fast as I lost. I just kept losing and losing and losing and losing. But I knew that I wasn't going to go all the way with it because really, it's just foolish. It's foolish to do this. And, you know, by this time, it's like, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we decide we're just going to pack it in. I said, look, before the hemorrhaging of money gets so bad, that, I'm going to pack it in, and we'll tomorrow is a new day. We've got the whole day to hang out, and we'll see if we can make a run at it tomorrow. But right now, if I keep doing this, the weekend could be over before it starts. And I was not going to leave Saturday morning. I wasn't going to do that. It wasn't going to be that bad. You know, I set a limit. It's a large limit, but I set a limit on my losing.
4 hour trip.
$400. That's it. And I get the hell out of there.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, I was bummed. We turn in. And I think we watched just a little bit of TV and then went right to sleep and went out pretty quickly because she, Carla was tired. She'd had a long drive up there.
Right.
I was tired from Thursday night with Buzz and I was wiped out. So we fall asleep.
Oh, excuse me. Don't forget. You worked a half a day on Friday.
Yes, that's right. A half a day.
Not only
the night with Buzz, but the half a day that I worked on Friday.
Right.
So I was, we both were sound asleep when seriously all hell breaks loose out in the hallway. I hear it is I want to call it the F word symphony. It is screaming. It is screaming to the point where I can recognize the sounds of what sound like a terrible fight. I don't hear anything getting knocked over, but I hear this screaming. This screaming to the extent where we were both sound asleep.
Uh-huh.
We sit both upright in bed, and that's when the discussion ensued as far as what I was going to do. Seriously, out in the hallway, you hear this.
This is Robert DeMille, man.
You hear this. It's like, F you. Well, F you. F you. I told you. If you're going to do it,
then
it's like, bam.
Can you identify white, black,
male,
female?
No. The next morning it was white woman, black man. That's what I identified the next morning.
This sounded like
a bunch of white guys. Stop shopping. Stop shaking your head, Rob.
No, Rob just looked at me.
Rob just looked at me and you. Yeah, with that unusual look that I never see him.
He looked at me and he just mouthed the word trouble.
These actually, if I could really identify it, Friday night sounded like a couple of. a couple of white guys having a fight. Yeah. It sounded like four or five guys, and everybody was screaming. And then it sounded like somebody fell up against my door because it smashed up against my door. I get up, and I go look through the little peephole like, don't hurt me, because I'm so sound asleep. And I'm just going, what the hell is the deal? And I'm hearing, F you. I didn't want it. I told you that. That's what I was going to do. No. You don't understand. F you. So what are you doing? I'm just going, oh, my God. I said, I mean, I've been in a lot of hotels. I'm never hearing this. I've never heard this. And I'm, you know, but you know when you're literally jarred out of sleep, and I stumble back to bed, and it stops as quick as it started.
Yeah.
And I look out at the people. I see nobody in the hallway. The last part of it was this just wall vibrating door slam that just rocked the walls, and silence. And at this point, I just closed my eyes, went back to sleep, you know,
right.
to get a good night's sleep, to bed. What an evening.
Yeah. What a day.
And fell asleep. The next thing I hear is the wake-up call at 8 o'clock in the morning where we have slept straight through. And this, I wrote this down because this is seriously what was said.
Okay.
We hear this. The first thing I hear, I mean screaming, right out of the chute, this woman at the top of her lungs says, don't you effing punch her!
Oh, my.
And I hear, I didn't effing punch her. Yes, you did effing punch her. Uh-oh. I'm going to call security. Carla is she's grabbing my arm and going, she says, all right, now you have to call security. I said, Carla, I don't know what room they're in. I don't want to call security on some innocent person that's trying to sleep while this is going on. Well, you should look out. I said, okay, I'll look out. And I said, and I'm still tired. I said to Carla, I said, why don't you go look through the peephole this time?
Hey,
so
yo.
Carla goes over and looks through the peephole. And then, once again, it was silent. And I realized, it's 8 o'clock. I'm up now. I mean, this is fine. This is, you know, it's the wake-up call. But I said, I was going to wait to call you to give you an update. I said, I got to call Don with this. I got to tell Don that A, I'm losing, and B, I got to tell him that we've got these domestic disturbances going on somewhere within one room of where we are, because it sounds like they're in the room with me. So that's when I called you.
Yeah, so Mike calls me and says, you know, hey, I'm down. I'm down. I'm way down. Mm-hmm. But even more important, and I think what you said to me was like something like, you know, they say they're going to build a nice place in Atlantic City, but you know what they build? They build a house of S, just like every other house of S in Atlantic City.
It's what it is.
Because you've got these...
It's an S-hole. I go up there because, look, it's the closest place that I can go to go and have fun and gamble, and I love to gamble and I love to have fun. But look, they can dress it up all they want. It is still what it is. It is still, and you know what? And they build a new one, and then slowly but surely, it gets New Jerseyized. Mm-hmm. And it just turns into a pile of garbage. It really does. And I think this last night, you know, a very nice joint, and, you know, you're having this, you know, this major domestic that you would have, that you'd see out of Cops, on Cops happening right around. I've been in a million hotels. I never had anything like this happen. This was top of your lungs screaming, and then, don't effing punch her.
Wow.
And some guy hauled off and punched some woman, and I don't know what room it is. I don't want to call security because you know why, Don? I just didn't want to get involved.
Understood.
Yeah. Just like those bad people, like in New York, that, you know, let people get killed when they're in their apartments.
Is that the first time that your lady has seen the true you come out?
The true coward in a crisis situation? Yeah, well, you know, I certainly wasn't filled with bravado at that point. Because she was kind of saying, you know, we got to do something. You know, and I was just like, no, I'll let them kill each other. I don't care. There's gambling to do. I'm going to get in the shower. So what I do is... Carla's gonna get ready and take her time. We get some breakfast, and then I hop in and take a quick shower, and I go down. I said, I'll meet you down there. And this is what we do. It's kind of a superstitious thing, because sometimes if I go down first thing in the morning, start my little day, I'll have a little win streak, a little run, right? I got a tiny little bump, and then bingo, it was all downhill from that point. And Carla meets me, but it's happy early day Saturday. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's happy day. We're playing some cards. We're playing different games. We're gonna, you know, we're not as down as we were. We're back a little bit, and we're going to continue to just have a happy day. All right. So we have the happy day, and like everything, we're gambling. So as the day progresses, okay? It starts out, we're playing Caribbean stud poker. Caribbean stud poker is where you kind of bet against the dealer.
I never understand. Is that the one that has the slot built into the board?
Yeah. It's got the little thing where you put the dollar in to get the progressive if you have a royal flush or something like that. And this lady, it's good. We're being social. They're fun people. It's a great social game. You don't have a real good chance of winning a lot of money, but you can stay in the game for a long time, or so I thought.
Mm.
See, this was the one game where I thought you can kind of sit at the table and socialize. And at this point, I'm not having any cocktails at all. I'm having Diet Cokes, and we're just...
Saturday morning.
It's Saturday midday, midday around this time when Carla joined me. And we're having a good time. And then, what was her name? I think her name might have been Christine. I think it was this old...
I could guarantee it started with a C.
It was. It sure did. Christine was, mid to late 50s. And
baby,
dirty hair,
baby,
and went on a run where she was just getting cards. She was getting winning hand after winning hand winning hand. And I'm sitting there going, oh man, you are brutal. And this is when it starts. This is when the very first sign of my anger kicks in, where I'm just like, okay. And I'm convinced that when I walk into these places, they've got a camera on me, and then they go, that's the guy that really doesn't like to lose at all. Keep the camera on him, because I'm just going, oh, there you go.
Oh, my goodness!
And so she finally wins enough.
Excellent.
Where I get up and I said, let's go this. So during the course of Saturday, we go to blackjack, we go back to the slots, and it's slowly but surely, whenever we would make the big bet, that's when we would lose. And it gets to the point where we're done, and I've reached my my limit, and I decide that that's it. I'm not going to tap into it anymore. I could, but this time it's just not going my way. Why don't we go? This is the whole day, though. We played games the whole day, and we only got tapped probably at about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
All right, so you run out of money.
Go. In the middle of this, we'd had a little lunch. That went well, but went back and continued to lose. Then I quit, and I'm like, that's it. And it was one of these deals. You can relate to this. It was one of these deals at a blackjack table where we were both playing, and we decided, you know, hey, let's just let it all ride, and this is our last little showdown here. Let's see what happens. We both get, Carla gets two eights, and I get a 10 and an 8. So she's got two eights that she's going to split. I get an 18.
You just sit on that, right?
And I sit on that, and the dealer's got a 5. The odds are extremely
in your favor.
The odds are in my favor. And so Carla splits. Carla gets two 10s. We have 18, 18, 18.
So you're sitting on three 18s.
Right. Dealer flips the card over. Dealer has 15. Dealer has 17. No, dealer has 15. Dealer gets an ace with a 16. Dealer gets 21. And at that point, I went, that's it. And I mean, I really stood up at the table as I said, that's it. Now, in the middle of all this on the day Saturday, I lost money in the slots. That's when I banged my hand down on a little piece of wood, and I kind of hurt my nose. I just walked away because I'd lost and lost and lost. I'm like, geez, I just can't buy it. It was just everywhere I went.
Now tell us about
Okay, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay, please.
We're in the slot area, and we're at these slot machines, and everybody, the alarms start going off. I walk into an area, and the people in my, you know, within 2 feet of me, it's all, you know, here he comes. Get close to him because it's lucky time, because I'm going to lose, but they're all going to win. And all these alarms are going off, like three at one point, all around me are going off. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I lose again. I lose again. And then I'm walking out, and I just take my hand on the little shelf that they have where people put their little plastic containers for the coins and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just bring my hand down. You know, Carlos, like, I don't know, says, I'm like, easy. I'm like, I don't have any easy. I'm sober. And at this point, Carlos is like directing me towards, well, why don't we go over to the lounge? We'll just hang out. I said, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll go. Maybe they'll have a band in there. It'll be fine.
How are your knuckles?
This is I didn't hurt him as bad. I didn't. There's not even a mark. I mean, I thought that I really broke my finger when I did it the first time. That's how hard I smashed it down there. I was very disappointed.
Sure.
I was very, very hurt. So we go to the little lounge, and as we go to the lounge, we sit down and have a little cocktail. I'm not even feeling like having a cocktail because I'm depressed, and I don't feel like having a drink. At this point, that doesn't last long.
That won't stop you.
That doesn't stop me when you can do this, and that's when really, that's the, I'd say 4:30, 5 o'clock, probably 5 o'clock, 5:15-ish.
Saturday.
That is the official breaking point of the weekend. That's when things started to go a different direction.
Point of demarcation, right?
That's when things started to get real happy.
Oh, good.
Real happy, and gambling at that point wasn't a part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling will come in later.
Huh.
Gambling will come into this later.
Okay, so so what you're saying is, at about 5:15, the focus became alcohol.
The alcohol was part of the new focus. Sure. Was, we're going to see a really good band.
Huh.
And I got really, really excited. Really, really excited. And the band was setting up. At least the lead singer of the band was setting up. And we were right on top of where the stage was in a couple of these easy chairs, perfect, comfortable setting. It's like being in your living room in a couple of those leather chairs. You know, in that that lounge that they have down there, yeah. Right? And I'm just sitting back there, and he's setting up and chatting with me as he's setting up and chatting with Carla. And we're just having a good old time. And at that point, I think maybe after my second drink, I looked over at Carla and I said, I think these guys are going to be really good. I think these guys are going to kick ass.
Uh-huh.
I really, really do. Let's get another drink.
Now, what, do they
and
look
it was
like,
about an hour.
Do they look like Spinal Tap guys?
They look like guys in my age group rockers, like old rockers. Cats,
like
cats that have been at it. Yeah, this is Spinal Tap
guys.
Yeah, well, the guy that was the lead singer was the guy that was setting up. But the sound man, who was another guy our age that came over to me, and he said, this is the best band we have play here. They play earlier in the day, but they are, without question, the best band. He said, if you get a chance, stick around. And at that point, I said, oh, waitress! And I was pretty much committed to hanging out.
Sure. We'll break and pick it up there.
Okay.
Good. Because now you've seen the show band of your life.
Yeah, well, no, I haven't seen them yet. They're setting up. They're an hour away from setting. It's 5 o'clock. They're going on at 6.
But, I mean, you've seen them, and you've already decided that they're fantastic.
I've seen the lead singer, and I've got a great vibe.
He's excited.
I've got a great feeling because I think they're going to be fantastic, mm-hmm. And I'm on my third drink at this point.
Okay, we'll be right back.
They're an hour away.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. At night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas. But it's in the desert where lots of the town's problems are solved.
Or the swamps.
A lot of holes in the desert, and
Atlantic
a lot of problems
City.
Are buried in those holes.
Meadows.
Swamps.
Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you got to have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the truck. Otherwise, you're talking about half hour or 45 minutes of digging. And who knows who's going to be coming along in that time.
Right.
Before you know it, you got to dig a few more holes. You could be there all night.
That's right, Joe.
Why don't you take your love and shove it up your big fat ass? You know you're the reason we're through.
Yeah.
I'm not all the yelling and the fights that we had. It won't be cold to you. Hey, you moan and you groan and you bitch and you whine. You make every beef we got left.
I'm a funny guy, but I don't
well,
think
I'm
that's
telling
funny.
You, baby, I'm through with you. Take your love, shove it up your big fat ass.
You gonna try to do that with me? Because I'll get all over you.
What was that? What was that?
Are you a prostitute?
Phil's upset.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Are you drunk?
What's up?
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
You've been drinking today.
Wow. The Chosen, Don and Mike.
Now, Robbie Dupree.
You are in denial.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Mike, back to Atlantic City. And you were just telling us right as we went on the air that you also got an altercation of your own with a woman?
Later. This comes later.
Wow. Okay.
I sit down. We get all excited because the band's going to show up, and I'm very, very jacked. And they show up finally. Meanwhile, you know, the drinks are flowing. Everything's wonderful. The band is as good or actually better than I thought they'd be. They're really, really great classic rock. Playing, you know, just obscure stuff you normally wouldn't hear a cover band that plays classic rock play. I mean, they usually play, you know, you can almost, like, know it by heart, the crap that that a cover band that's playing classic rock is going to play. Exactly. Uh-huh. They're just, they're playing weird, different stuff. Like, they're playing different Billy Joel. They're playing different Who. They're playing stuff that you, and they're playing it well, and I'm just getting more and more into it as every, I mean, really.
I'm on my second beer.
By the third set, these guys, people were coming into this joint, and they had people on their feet. They were that good. Okay. And by the end, I'm just like talking to the guy during a break, and I'm going, "You guys are just so great. I want to have you play at my birthday party. You got to come and play." And I'm just all over, you know, just saying, "Come on, let's go. It'll be so much fun, fantastic." But you know, the bottom line is, I love this band. I'm absolutely blottoed because I stay in that lounge.
Do you know the name of the band today?
No,
no, you don't.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm really sorry I don't. It's the Michael Something Band.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. That's all I can give you right now.
They're very good. I
have a business card somewhere. I can't find it. Uh-huh. If I find it, I'll why? Why?
They're going to play.
You know, it's
party.
Just like when you meet somebody on a vacation. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You have that great time. And you say, "Hey, this is great. We're going to be friends." You know, I'm sure you've experienced that on a cruise where you just, "Hey, this is great." You end up, you move on.
Yeah,
you
know.
So this is 9:30. The only time I could get a dinner reservation was for 10:00. So it works out perfectly. Only I'm really not in the mood for eating at this stage of the game. I could have done completely without, but we go to the steakhouse anyway. And you know, after I have a little appetizer. Meanwhile, Carla is going into full nutritionist mode with me because we go into this steakhouse where everything in a casino steakhouse is abbondanza. It's big. It's, you know, get the 750-ounce steak and you get this. So I have to order something that I'm not accustomed to ordering, which is the petite filet mignon steak, which is the smallest one. Mm-hmm. And then I have to cut like a third off of it. And that's all I can eat. And I'm really So I would like to apologize to Carla that for the majority of the dinner, I am sitting there just bitching all through dinner about what I can't eat, what I can't eat, what I can't eat, and it's going on and on and on. And I think I might have had one more cocktail, but that was you know, probably one more than I needed. You know, this couple sits down next to us, and we start chatting with them, and everything is very like relaxed and fun. And you know, I'm coming down off the what I know is probably the best part of the weekend, which was watching that band. And you know, we eat, it's fine. We're walking out. As we're walking out,
here we go. Celebrity now.
You know, I look over and I go, "Oh man, Carla, I know her. You know her? I know her. Oh, I do know her." And it goes, "Oh man, 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 wait. Sopranos, Sopranos, Sopranos. That's Adriana. That's Adriana. That's Drea De Mateo." And I remembered, even in my drunken stupor, I remembered Drea De Mateo.
That's pretty good. And you were good not to oversell it.
No.
If you said either Sopranos or Dumb Joey,
we
would have gotten it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a giveaway. But she is very, very recognizable, and she's with a group of people. And I walk by, but when I see her, I don't make contact because she's talking with a bunch of people, and I'm like, you know, because of the way the circumstances are, I'm not going to say anything. But as we turn the corner, it turns out she's leaving at the exact same time we're leaving, and I know, and I, so I said to Carla, I said, "Is she in back of us?" Carla says, yeah, she's in back of us. So I pull this move where I walk out of the restaurant. And you know the restaurant I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And right at the front, I turn around and I just go, "Hey, I just want to say," and I'm not really slurring, but I say, well, maybe I am.
Yes,
I say,
you are.
I just want to say, man, I'm a really big fan. I really like your work. You're really, really talented.
Runky.
She goes, thank you very much. Runky. And then I might have thrown in there that I do a radio show or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, the one thing that we had a little back and forth, I said, "Man," I just looked at her, and I don't know where this came from, but I looked at her and I said, "Man, Atlantic City really sucks." And she agreed with me.
Ah, good.
So it was a moment. I said, she goes, "Yeah, I'm just up here to see my friend." We determined after the fact that the friend that she was going to see perform was a guy. I've never seen the guy because I never watched the show from Last Comic Standing, the big fat guy, Ralphie, who was up there performing. And
a lot of
people were talking about going to see this guy. And so, you know, we walked off after that and was like, that's
for Ralphie, though.
So that was my wonderful celebrity sighting that I had. And I was pretty, pretty excited. And I was so excited because dinner had been good. The band had been good. And I'm, you know, at this point, feeling really good about everything. I said, well, this is such a lucky break. Seeing a celebrity. Might as well tap the well again.
Don't do it, Mike.
Might as well go back over to the big money chest, open up the drawer, and see if we can perhaps get back to where we should be.
I'm not interested.
And that would be really officially where the whole evening started going really downhill, because I was not, I don't think I was drinking after that, but I was still going on what I had before.
Sure.
And we go back and just the same old, all over again.
Everything. Cards, slot machines, everything. I didn't win.
Asian dealers?
It was, no. I pretty much avoided that. I avoided that Christine or whatever the lady's name is. And I got her name wrong. I know she had a different name. She was a different. We didn't have a lot of Asian dealers. It was a lot of old kind of Mario kind of dealers. That's weird.
Any dealers named Wing?
They were all around me. They were all around me. But it was hard because it was very popular up there on Saturday night, and you know, the place is always packed. It's almost impossible to get a table, and that's what drives me back to the stupid land, the land of the idiot, when I go back into the slot machines, and I go back in there and lost and lost and lost. At one point, I just felt this one machine, and there's this lady that's sitting down there. She looks similar to, how can I describe her best? She's Italian looking. She's a little overweight. She's got a lot of jewelry on. And she's young. And she's sitting there and she's doing what old ladies do with slot machines.
Hold on now, you just said she's young.
She's doing what old ladies do.
But she's young.
But she's young.
Is she like,
she's pure Jersey.
New Jersey?
She's
okay.
Pure Jersey.
That's all I wanted
and
to
Carla
get
informed me, after I had my little moment with this lady, that she either had like an uncle or a boyfriend or a father or something, that I had picked the wrong person.
Okay. Hi, Donna Mike.
You wonder why this person is this young and at these machines. Uh-huh. And I walk up, and I think the conversation was something
was she
along.
Mobbed up?
She's sitting there at one machine, and then she's got her card in the other. And I see that she's got the card, but she's not playing it. And I walk over, and I'm not being a dick, but what I'm doing is I'm being kind of friendly-like. And I guess it came across to her that I was being a dick, because uh-huh. I said, are you still playing this machine? Because I got a feeling about it. I got a feeling I'm going to hit big on it. Mm-hmm. And she says something along the lines of, well, I've got my card in there. I said, I know you've got your card in there, but you're not playing it, and I'm really feeling it. She goes, I got my card in there, and I will be playing it. I've put loads of money into that machine, and you're not going to be playing. I'm like, okay, fine, be that way. So I walk away at this point, but you know me, right? At this point, it's starting to spin in my head, and I'm going on. So I go over to Carla. I'm like, Carla, she was such a bitch. I couldn't believe it. And I'm just standing there, and I'm playing one machine while I'm just keep looking back at her. And at this point, Carla says, just stop it. Just stop it. You don't want to. You know. You don't want to make a big deal. I said, what do you mean? You don't want to make a big deal? What's the deal? She's monopolizing the machines. I haven't won anything. I do feel like I'm going to hit on that machine. This is ridiculous. And I'm, you know, I'm not totally out of control. But that's when Carla said, "You should have seen the guys that she was telling about me." And apparently, a couple of these gray-haired guys with necklaces came over, and she was pointing at them. And then they didn't matter. And I said, I walked back over. I said, still playing that machine? She goes, yes, sir, I'm still playing that machine. I said, oh, man. Jersey girl, right?
Oh, no.
And I walk over. And I walk away because I'm just pissed because she's being such a jerk about everything. Yeah. And I was not doing it to say, I want to play the machine. I was being kind of lighthearted and saying, I got a feeling about this machine. And she was just pulling the 100% bitch trip with me. And I was not I was not happy about it. So, Carla. Who is this, your father? Oh, I'm real sorry. Because I'm the one that kind of looks like the father-daughter guy. You know, but Carla wasn't anywhere near this. She was over at some other machine, and she was standing idly by. And she talked me out of saying what I wanted to say, because at this point, it's time for bed.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to take Carla and walk by her, and I just wanted to have my arm around Carla and go, you know something? I might not have been a winner in the casino, but I'm a winner in life. You know why? Because I ain't going home with you. I'm going home with her. And I rehearsed this little speech, and that's the point where Carla said, you are not going to say that. Let's go back to the room. And But this was after losing and losing and losing, losing to the point where there officially will not be any more gambling because that's it. There's no chance of any more gambling because it has been tapped out. If I was going to gamble, I would have had like to go down to get somebody to wire me money. That's what would have happened.
When you said no more gambling,
or said, here are the keys to my car. Anybody want to buy it?
On that trip.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not done for good with gambling. You're not done for good.
Carla kind of wants to bag it. Carla says,
you might find this to be a shocker. She said it's not as much fun as it used to be, and she might be right about this. Mm-hmm. But I know that give me 6 months, give me 8 months, I'll go back.
You
know, I'll always, because you always do it. I mean, it's fun. Oh, it's fun.
I will take action on that right now.
Okay.
Sure.
Right now.
As to whether I don't go back?
6 months?
Yeah.
Without gambling?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. I'll take that bet, and furthermore, I'll take a bet that you forget that you made a bet about not gambling in 3 to 6 months.
I'll take Memorial Day. I'll say you gamble by Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you've made it a challenge. Now you guys are looking out for me. I appreciate that. And then it'll be a quest.
Now we have to do just stop talking about it.
That's right. You'll jinx.
So that you forget mm-hmm. like you always do.
Well, after I had the fight with the lady, the evening ended for me where I went back up to my hotel room and I passed out watching Brokeback Mountain.
Sure.
Hey.
Because it was on, when you get pay-per-views in theaters.
I know, it was on the All-Gay Channel.
I watched, and it was great leading up to the Oscars, because on the pay-per-view they had Good Night and Good Luck, which was nominated. They had Walk the Line, which I watched, which was nominated. Right. And Brokeback Mountain at 12:30 or 11, maybe 11:30.
Yeah.
The eyes closed, because, you know, that movie begins with a lot of this, and I said, well, I'll see what all the... Let's see what all the fuss is about. And Carla fell right asleep, and then I passed out right after that. I was done. What a day. Mm-hmm. What an exciting, exhilarating...
That was too gay.
Celebrity-filled day. Oh, very, very exciting.
Hold on a second. One call for you here, Mike. Hello, okay. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Don, it was the Michael Strayer band, probably. They're the best cover band going. They play over here at Kirkpatrick's in Ashburn a lot.
Okay, thank you, Red. Red Neckerson checking in. Bye-bye.
I don't think they play in D.C.
Bye-bye.
They were a Philly band. I remember that. They were a Philadelphia band.
All right, well, glad you made it back okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Jersey Girl.
It was just fine.
What is this? Everybody is just calling now. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
I noticed all the lines ringing. An indication people are calling.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mike, are you busy this weekend?
Yeah, yes, I am, sir.
Okay, how about the following?
Why?
I'd like to take you on a bus trip to Atlantic City, please.
No.
Bye!
No, you love buses.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Did you take the bet?
Did I what?
Did you take the bet from Don?
Did I take the bet? Well, there was no real bet. They were just saying that they are, you know, they're counting on me gambling before Memorial Day.
Aren't you
going to
wager something on it?
No, you know what I'm going to do, sir? If I gamble between now and Memorial Day, they ain't going to know about
it. Bye!
Uh-huh. Except here's the thing. See, this is what's great about Mike. I can even say this right to his face, looking him right in the eye. You will totally forget that you had this conversation.
By Memorial Day?
Oh, a good chance by the end of today's show. Come on.
I'll be fine.
Oh, I know what we're doing here.
What?
Oh, here's what we're doing here. We're going to have some fun today. Now, ladies. Ladies. Yeah. You got a vibrator?
Uh-huh.
This is not the standard vibrator Olympics.
No.
Now, I'm not exactly sure how we're going to work this, so you're going to have to bear with us. Scott, this is for ladies only. You call us up at 877-365-3636 with your vibrator.
Okay.
And it's talent show time.
Really?
Now, I don't know if you want to sing with your vibrator. You want to put on a skit with your vibrator.
Sketch.
You mean
the vibrator talent show?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Huh. If you want your vibrator to perform in some way for us, if you want to do like a little ventriloquist dummy thing with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring it to the bathtub.
How about if you have more than one? Can you juggle?
Again, these
not
are
really
all...
something that translates into the radio, but it would be interesting to maybe hear somebody saying, "I'm juggling now."
These are all decisions that we're leaving up to you.
All right.
This is not simply call up and impress us with the power of your vibrator.
No, not this time.
Which we've done for years, right. Ladies. What talents do you have?
Uh-huh.
What shows can you put on for us?
Perhaps a magic trick that makes it disappear.
There he goes.
Somebody should have given Pills McCoy over there a copy of the script that said, really don't say that, but indicate that that might be... That might be what we were looking for.
I keep my walk the line. There, that's the,
I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
That's it. I forgot it.
I walk the line.
I walk.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Why do you say it like that?
What?
I didn't know the lyric. I'm sorry. I didn't know the lyric. And you did. Congratulations.
Oh, Jesus. Everybody knows the lyrics. I walk the line.
I blank. You know, I had a lot of whiskey over the weekend. Give me a break.
So you've heard that song for 30 years.
I know. I just forgot it. Okay? Jeez. God.
John or Fred. Anything but Sue.
I watched that movie, too. And it wasn't a bad movie. It was actually not a bad movie. Have you seen the movie Walk the Line?
Negative.
Good movie.
Like negative.
Very, very good movie.
I don't like Miss Sweet Home Alabama.
She's
I'm
great.
Sorry.
She is, and I didn't like her before it either. I thought she was good in it.
I didn't even like her in Pleasantville. I mean, there's just something about that chick.
You know what I liked her in? One movie.
What?
Election.
No, but even in that...
She plays the
she's just too perfect.
Cutesy. That's her. That's her thing. Sweetness and life.
I just want to thank everybody because I really can't believe that this is happening to me. Oh, and I can't believe it's happening to you. Freaking bitch, you liar. You knew you were going to win. You know, really, come on. Come on. You were surprised.
Hey, don't
you
get
won?
So angry, you know. It's not like you lost at blackjack this weekend.
Amen. Ladies, I think we told you. Get your vibrators out. And let's see what you can do. Impress us. Put on a talent show with your vibrators.
We're ready to believe you.
Oh, and the prize?
Yes.
Well, besides $200 in cash, we have the home theater audio system from Samsung and Circuit City.
Ah.
You will clearly see the difference.
Very good.
That's what it says right there. Call right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's the Don and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're stop marbling with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What are you, crazy?
The Don and Mike Show.
Nuts.
They pursue the rare and magical white unicorn, Don and Mike.
Everything I'm reading now says it is 24 tonight.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Good.
Sure. Hold on. I'm just reading a bunch of different stuff. Listen to this. But just ahead of your calls for the Vibrator Talent Show, stand by, chicks. If you like 24, you'll love tonight's. Everything that was teased in the promos happens tonight. At this point, these promos don't come close to revealing the biggest surprises this show has to offer. If you're a fan, you need to watch tonight. Tonight.
Tonight.
Because the secrets won't hold.
Oh.
It is hard to keep up, but it's a vast improvement on the years when the show gave us too much time to ponder plot holes.
It's really been frantic this year. Yeah. It seems like every episode something major happens.
2 hours tonight? Oh, yeah, baby.
Where is the nerve gas?
give it to me. Oh, and when I went to the Bruce Willis movie, I saw the ad for, I guess, a movie coming out in a couple of weeks with Michael Douglas, who plays a Secret Service guy, who they think might be a rogue agent, an older guy. And Jack Bauer, I believe, from the ad that I saw, I'm sorry, Kiefer Sutherland,
right,
is the FBI agent that's in charge of getting him. But, Kiefer Sutherland has one speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if you were in a movie like A Few Good Men,
right,
when he's on the stand, all he's really doing is under control, but still ready to go at any moment. Jack Bauer,
right,
previously on 24.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I've got a question for you. Would you like to come with me to a bar at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunset Boulevard? But Kiefer Sutherland. In this movie, all he's doing is screaming at Michael Douglas going, but you're not being safe to the president! Yeah.
I like that combination, though.
Yeah.
Does it look good? Does it look like it'd be a good movie?
Yeah, except I wish Michael Douglas would not be getting a facelift every freaking week.
Is he starting to look like Joe Pesci?
He's starting to look like Jack Lemmon.
Oh, really? Oh,
you know that look that Jack Lemmon had towards the end?
Kind of stretched and the eyes get all watery.
Yeah.
Beware of the weepy eyes. That to me is like one too many facelifts.
Yeah, the
and
ass
I didn't watch Joan Rivers like with the coverage of the Academy Awards. Is it true they were shooting her from the back where you couldn't see her face?
Did they really?
That's what I heard.
Here's the deal that so many people now have shows where they want to interview the celebrities.
Right.
Joan Rivers, because she's now on the TV Guide channel.
Does anybody watch that? Way down at the bottom.
Well,
must be whack.
She saves money from subscribing.
she doesn't have the prime spot that she did.
Right.
So it was either get a shot of her or get a shot of the celebrity.
Well, sure. Her stock has fallen a little bit.
Have you seen the new TV commercial where they have a very, very old lady lip-syncing to her voice?
That is hysterical.
I really did a double take when I saw it.
They've got a guy. It's this lady that's talking about Joan Rivers and plastic surgery. I don't even know what the product is.
I don't either.
But they get this old lady, and they do a perfect dub of Joan Rivers' voice. And it's Joan Rivers. What's he supposed to be? Joan Rivers' mother or something like that?
No, it's Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers without the plastic
without
surgery.
Without another surgery.
Oh. Fantastic.
But right, Michael Douglas always looks surprised now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's more a mouth thing than an eyebrow thing.
Oh, really?
And plus, you can tell that he's had the jowls tucked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sex addict.
But you would go see that movie with Jack Bauer?
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I can't wait for 24 tonight.
Yeah. All right, chicks, here we go. Your calls right now at 877-365-3636. We're not really sure exactly how this is going to go.
Well, you kind of left it squarely in the vibrator owner's court.
Because this is not like the vibrator Olympics where you just call up and put the business end of your friend up to the phone and we decide the one that we think has the most personality.
Right.
We're going to ask you ladies now to actually put on a show with the vibrators for us. So let's see what people have got going. Here's
go to the phone.
Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling. Oh, and if I didn't mention, I think I did, but I got to read it again. We're playing for $200 in cash, plus the home theater audio system from Samsung and Circuit City.
Jennifer, what is your friend's name?
I actually have two. I have one for Don and one for Mike.
Wonderful.
Sorry, Buzz.
It's all right.
Dad, finally, somebody leaves him out of the equation.
Hello.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Good
now,
stuff.
Now, Jennifer. What will you be doing with your vibrators?
I will be playing dueling vibrators.
Playing dueling vibrators.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I can only imagine what this is going to sound like.
Are you ready?
Give it a shot.
All righty.
Here we go. And
I hear two different tones. Uh-huh. Could be a suburban, any suburban Saturday
morning.
Can you
hear both of them?
Yep. Well, I'd like to hear them individually.
Separately, yes.
Individually? Okay.
Dueling.
Here's the first one.
Oh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Ingrown hair.
No, not much. Here's the next one.
Second one sounds older and shyer.
Now what's... Yeah.
You know, maybe not. I think she dialed it up a little bit.
The second one sounds like a horse that's lost a step.
What are you doing with them to make them duel?
I don't know if that's allowed on the air.
We'll try. What are you doing? Are you
pressing them against one another?
Yes.
Are you having a sword fight?
Strategic location.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Extra credit.
Hold on.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Are you saying what we think you're saying?
Yeah.
It's time to restart. I don't care how many girls are on the telephone. We'll have a winner here if she's... So you mean the whole time that we've heard that...
Yes.
They've been hiding?
Yes. You're very good. In the...
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask her the big question now.
Yes.
Which one she prefers the most? You know we have to do that.
My newest one, which was the second one that you heard.
The second one. Well, now that we know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Why did you strategically set that phone? And again, let's just listen to the dueling vibrators.
One more time, Jennifer.
Oh,
dueling vibrators.
There you go.
I thought she was like waving them in the air.
Less talking, a little more vibrating.
Yes, less talking, more demonstrating.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
lot of horsepower.
Man.
Sounds like she hit a rock.
So she's working two of them right now.
Uh-huh. Sounds like it could be a Saturday morning in any suburban neighborhood. Yeah, Phil's mowing his lawn again.
It's going to be hard to beat.
All right, I have to stop.
She has to stop now.
You're not bleeding, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
Fantastic. Are they both variable speeds?
They are, yes.
Very nice.
Huh? And who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Oh, geez. I knew you were going to ask that, and yeah.
No, don't worry. Take your time.
I
think not.
Megan McGrath?
I think not.
No.
Not a fatty, I bet.
I'm 5'8". Shortish blonde hair. I'm a teacher.
Oh, you're a teacher?
Yeah. I know I don't look like anybody. I look like me.
You look like you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that answer usually means...
Rob's face.
Hold on. That was great. Hold on.
That was Jennifer and her dueling vibrators, Don and Mike.
Uh-huh. Hold on, Jennifer. Here is Sally. Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Hi there. Welcome. And Sally, what do you plan on doing with your vibrator? What's the talent, honey? Any idea?
It just does what it's supposed to do very well.
Sally, what is your friend's name?
It is Pinky.
Pinky. Sure. Pinky. Of course it is.
All right, without further ado, now listen, it's going to be tough to be Jennifer's act.
Yeah, she doubled up on us. She had dueling vibrators.
And she had hiding vibrators, too. Right. You know, maybe they like Saddam. They went into the bunker.
Lay down, Sally.
All right, there he is, Mr. Pilly Pill.
There you go. All right, Sally, we're ready. Go ahead, honey.
All right, I'm going to put the phone down and put on speaker.
Sure.
Oh, putting on speaker.
Oh, speaker. And it has to be.
Help! Help! I guess she's, sometimes it's hard to...
They're very heavy.
Like a weed whacker.
I heard...
They all sound like weed whackers, Rob.
I heard it sounded like a cow mooing.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a cow mooing.
No, it was you. I'm just trying to...
How long have you owned Pinky, Sally?
Mask that sound.
How funny. Probably about 8 years, and my gay friends dragged me into some place in Philadelphia.
8 years. It would seem to me that the statute of limitations on those babies would be maybe 3 weeks.
Pinky's still in pretty good shape after 8 years?
Only as good as the batteries, my friend.
Not a lot of erosion, my friend?
Nope.
Pinky's probably more like brownie now, or rusty.
It's a valid question. Sally, is there any discoloration with Pinky?
No, there is not.
And Pinky is pink?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Very good.
From all right, now. Now they've given me a note. No moaning.
Oh.
I thought it was a cow mooing in the background.
I thought it was just, I didn't really hear anything.
But it was moaning. Strains.
We tried to screw with our fun here today.
I didn't understand that. I didn't hear anything.
But anyway, I'm fascinated by the fact you've had the same trusty vibrator.
8 years.
For 8 years. Is a dishwasher safe?
I wouldn't know.
What do you do to maintain Pinky besides changing the batteries?
You maintain hygiene rules with Pinky.
Just soap and warm water.
There you go.
Oh God, listen to you. Leave it to you to know the rules.
Sometimes not even the soap, I bet.
Yeah, just warm water.
Getting brown.
Keep it from getting brown.
Okay. Keep it from getting brown.
So your gay friends introduced you to a device like Pinky?
We were down in Philly downtown, and there was this huge shop, and they walked in, and they insisted upon purchasing my first vibrator for me.
Oh, that's wonderful, and you've had a member say, do you have any other, does Twinkie have any brothers or sisters?
So that was way back in 1998.
Wow.
When you got Pinky.
There's no need.
No need.
Yeah.
No need.
So Pinky is the only toy you own?
Yep.
Oh, that's delightful.
All right, hold on a second, please, Sally.
That was Sally and her friend Pinky.
Hold on.
And if you're keeping track of the rules for today's game, we've just been updated. No moaning.
Hello, Don and Mike show. How do you make a hormone? Come on. Kicker. Kicker. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
This is not a woman.
This is a guy.
Hi, guys.
We said women.
No, is this Chad?
Yes, guys.
Who is this?
This is drunk Chad.
It's drunk Chad, and I'm to be honest, I'm a little too drunk.
Well then, another time,
Chad,
perhaps.
What are you doing, Chad?
Chad, you're screwing up our game here.
Chad, we're
I want to get my wife's vibrator.
Oh,
Is your wife around? Your wife could play the game.
No, she's working.
All right, Chad.
Yeah, she's working. She's basically paying your beer bills all
day. Chad, why don't
I should say beer bills?
Chad, why don't you do a talent show with your wife's vibrator for us?
I have to find it.
Well, you called us, Chad. Rob, are you tiring on Chad?
No, I'm for like hours.
I am.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chad may be cruising towards ban zone.
We've all voted him off the island. Hello, Donna, Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, somebody chickened out.
Oh, screw it. You know what? I don't know. Let's give it to the chick that had two of them.
You're going to give it to Jennifer? Yes.
We could do another break on this, but we have something much more important that we have to do next. So.
All right.
Let's just find, where's
Jennifer?
Jennifer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jennifer.
Yes?
Jennifer, who knew what we wanted anyway, in the talent show.
She didn't moan, though.
No, she did not moan.
That was
the
rule.
She did not moan. She could have moaned, though.
And before they came in and told us, she couldn't.
Yeah. Jennifer, congratulations. You get the home theater audio system from Samsung.
I just won. Hello?
And Circuit City. What?
Who were you telling you'd won?
My husband.
Oh, your husband's there. That's
there
wonderful.
You go ruin it.
Cigarette.
Ruin it with the H word. Circuit City makes it simple to learn about the latest in home entertainment technology. Stop in today and ask about DLP TV by Samsung. You will clearly see the difference. And I can tell you that both these clients could not be happier than to get the air check tape and hear how their prize was given away.
Jennifer, if your husband's there, could he come up with the celebrity you most resemble?
No, he just left.
Oh, he just left. Okay.
He's not allowed to be involved in these things.
All right, no problem.
All right, honey, hold on. You get the money, too. Hold on just a second. And let me see. For Sally, and I think there were three or four other girls on the phone we didn't have time to get to.
Right.
They all get the Sopranos prize pack.
Oh, hey, wonderful.
Don't miss the new season of Sopranos Sunday, March 12th. 9/8 Central, only on Home Box Office.
Wonderful.
Okay. I mean, I wish we had more time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly had a lot of chicks calling who wanted to, like, play games. We even had one chick in the pool. We're going to have to run that by the lawyer
in the pool
to find out
for safety reasons, if
we can...
For the vibrator's safety.
Have someone in the pool with the vibrator.
We don't want any unnecessary drowning.
That's right.
Or electrocution.
Today is March 6th.
Yes.
This probably means nothing to anybody except the people in this room. Do you know that today, Marion Barry turns 70?
It's his 70th birthday.
Wow. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm going to check my BlackBerry messages when we come back.
Oh, that is so such good news.
And we'll see what's happening.
Wonder if he's celebrating his birthday.
Well, you're goddamn right he is. Mm-hmm. He's 70.
Maybe a little too much celebration.
Meant for life.
Yeah, sorry. He doesn't celebrate like normal people, though.
No, he don't.
He has his own little way.
You do not. So I'm going to check my email. Thank God that the Crackberry thing went through last week, and I didn't have to lose the ability to chat with my friends and family and coworkers immediately on my handheld device.
You just made a Freudian slip.
What's that?
You didn't say BlackBerry. You said Crackberry.
Oh, no.
Shame on you.
Not funny.
No.
Not funny. Oh, reminds me. Frank Caliendo says, hey, Don and Mike, please mention I'll be on the David Letterman Show tonight at 11:35.
Watch it.
On the Central Columbia
Broadcasting System.
The Iron Sky.
Tonight. Frank is on tonight. He's
very
funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back with the BlackBerry.
Yeah. Celebrating.
Right, the birthday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
70.
I lost my place in the show. But I'm back now.
You're back now.
I'm back.
Good.
Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Phelps, I see under interests you've written debit.
No, that's debut.
Debut.
Yeah. And also, I like tennis.
The Don and Mike Show. It's time for a little rippy-dippy on the Don and Mike Show.
I just added the Crackberry. Let's go to the internet for a second.
All right.
Okay. We're looking at DCR TV.
Oh, yeah.
I love this site.
I know you do.
I want to say hi to Grease Monkey. That's the new name I'm going to give this guy.
Very good.
Who's been changing tires all day.
Mm-hmm.
But listens to the show.
Right.
And posts about it every day. What's it say here? Just as I was going to give up on Don and Mike because of their dull, unoriginal show of late, they may have changed my mind with today's show opening. They played Philip Seymour Hoffman's Oscar speech, and get this, they added fart sound effects. brilliant. And in a move that will go down in radio history, they repeated the whole thing 25 minutes later. I find it hard to believe Don comes up with these ideas on his own as often as he boasts. There must be a team of writers working around the clock that comes up with such outstanding material. It's no wonder they sustain their blockbuster ratings month after month.
It's true.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know it's an internet site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not mad. Right. I'm really not. It was a throwaway. No more, no less. You, while you were changing tires, listened to it and wrote to the website about it. And
really, that's the most important thing.
And
right,
the truth is, again, we do sustain blockbuster ratings
mm-hmm.
month after month.
Correct.
But so
take it upstairs to the fat man.
I have only one thing to ask of the person who writes these things anonymously and gets them posted on DCR-TV.
GM.
If I am driving a 2004 Cadillac Escalade, what's the PSI on the front tires? Maybe you can help me with that.
Fair enough.
Maybe you can help.
Goodness, you know, you sound like you know who's doing this.
I think I do. Oh, and then Dave, the guy that writes the runs the website,
mm-hmm.
his response. I guess it's fat people fart a lot line of humor. I'll dare to suggest that Mr. Hoffman is no fatter than Mr. Geronimo. Oh, negative. Listen, not that I can't fart with the best of them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not as fat as what's his name.
Hey, but what's wrong with fat people farting humor?
Nothing.
It's great.
Of course.
I love it.
Just don't like having my weight challenged, that's all.
Right.
By some skinny dude who runs a website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all. And by some other guy who really should be changing someone's oil right now. And I wonder, which name do you have on the pocket of your shirt?
Mm-hmm.
The one you had before or the one you changed it to?
Oh!
That's all I'm wondering. But, mm-hmm. but keep posting, because obviously you've got my interest.
Yes.
Anyway.
Seems to be a theme.
Enough about me and Mike and our groundbreaking show. And
Gail and Bill.
Our continued blockbuster ratings.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Imagine that.
Deal with it.
Yeah, blockbuster ratings without people who used to work here.
Deal with it.
Today is January, February, March, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right. March 6th.
Mm-hmm.
What happened 70 years ago today? The world's greatest mayor was born.
Mayor for life.
Marion Barry.
Are you going to check your BlackBerry, see if you have any messages?
Yes, my BlackBerry.
These days he takes your messages.
See if I have any electronical messages
mm-hmm.
that come on my CrackBerry. That's a joke, everybody. Oh. It's BlackBerry,
that's
of
right.
course.
That's right.
Hello. It is... This Don's BlackBerry.
Uh-oh.
As Mayor Marion Barry, Marion for life, I'd like to just say, before we go into Don's BlackBerry, happy birthday to me. 70 years ago, Mrs. Barry had a little baby boy. He was me. Marion, I've done her proud, and I'm happy to be celebrating my 70th birthday today, and happy to celebrate right here in the District of Columbia, where I'm celebrating tonight in Ward 8. We'll invite everybody to come down and have a fabulous old birthday celebration. We'll have all sorts of girls and lots of booze.
Now, where are my messages?
Lots of friends. I'm sorry. All right, now let's check Don's messages.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Hi, this is Marion Barry, and you have reached Don's BlackBerry. You have 7 unplayed messages.
7? Wow.
To play your messages, press 1. Hi, this is Don's BlackBerry. You have 7 unplayed messages. For message number 1, press 1. From Mike O'Mara.
Oh, from Mike.
Don, help me. I have a serious gambling problem, and I just can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. I sure hope you can help me, Don. See you at work. To play message number 2, press 2. From Animal Control. Mr. Source, please try to control your dog, Twink. He's terrorizing the other dogs in the neighborhood.
Oh, my, okay.
Keep that dog inside, fool. To play message number 3, press 3. From Michael Hughes. Hi, Don. It's Michael Hughes. And I am sitting in a bathtub staring at my electric toaster, deciding whether or not to pull it into the tub with me.
He's the general manager.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Bye. To play message number 4, hit 4 from Rob Spiegel.
Oh, hi, Rob.
Don, I am so angry about the Oscars. What a silly lyric. It's hard out here for a pimp. I mean, Dolly Parton was nominated, for Christ's sake.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, Rob was mad about that.
Three messages, number five, hit five.
Number five.
What do I hit again?
Number five. To play message number five, Don. Hey, hit the five key, fool. From Bethany McBride.
Oh.
Don.
Yes.
I have made a terrible mistake. Please take me back. If you do, I will never wear corduroys again.
Hey.
I am going crazy in this one-horse hick town. I want to come back to you and Mike, where I was truly happy, even though I was living in a very, very small apartment building. To play message number seven, hit seven.
I thought we have to six.
I'm sorry, six.
Six, six.
Hit six, fool.
Six, there.
From Buzz Burbank.
Oh, hi, Buzz.
Dawn. I am so wasted. I have a touch of the flu, and I have gone into my secret stash of drugs to make my brain feel better. My brain is swelling, and I feel very, very bad.
Uh-huh.
Boy, am I high. See you later. To play message number seven, press seven. From Michael Hughes.
Oh, again.
Well, Don, I didn't have the stones to go through with it. I am a damn coward, and I could not pull my electric toaster into the tub with me. I wish I was dead. See you tomorrow at work. From Michael Hughes. If you would like to change recording options, press 2. This is Don's BlackBerry, and this is Don's greeting. Hello. Don cannot come to the BlackBerry right now because he is very busy. If you would like to leave a message, simply type in your message and I will translate it to him when he calls in for his messages.
Hey, Mayor Barry.
Yeah.
How's your doing? How's your birthday going?
Oh, man, we're just having a good time. Just trying to be mellow at first, but I got to be honest with you. I'm experiencing just a little bit of shortness of breath.
Huh.
My diabetes is acting up.
I got you got the diabetes.
Not feeling too good, but all excited about it. Going to do all my celebrating tonight in Ward 8. I'd like to have everybody come by. How often does a man turn 70? With my lifestyle, I was told that I probably wouldn't live past 50.
Right.
So I'm very happy that I'm doing that today, but I'm really thinking that the future's ahead of me. I think I got a good 20 years. My mouth is so dry. Let me just take a pull on this little drinky poo that I got right here. Hold on just a second.
Now it is. I hope that's.
Oh, well, but I'll give you an update on my birthday. I got a hat on right now, a little birthday hat. I got a cake that I like a lot.
Uh-huh.
That lovely little chocolate cake with buttercream frosting. It's real, real good. I'm having a very good meal, enjoying some steak and potatoes, just having a good time. We'd love to see everybody down in Oopsie Daisy.
What?
It looks to me like you got another message that came in while I was talking to you.
All right.
Would you like to erase all your current messages or save any of them?
I erase them all.
You erase them all. So this would be message number one. Hold on a second.
Number one.
You have to go to press one right now, Don, to get back to your messages.
Right.
You've reached Don's BlackBerry. This is Mayor Barry. Don has one new message. To play that message, press one. Don.
Yes.
It's Mike O'Mara. I have not heard from you, and I don't understand why. I have a bad gambling problem, and I surely hope you can help me. Please call me back, even though it is the middle of the show. To save this message, press 2. To delete it, press 3. Another message has come in.
Oh, another one.
To play this message, press 1. Don,
yes.
It's me, Buzz Burbank. Still high. When the hell are you going to get to the news, fool? To delete this message, press 2.
Yeah.
Save it, press 3.
Oh, there you go.
Did you save it or delete it?
I deleted it.
Message has been erased.
Very good.
Man, oh, man. All right, now, to change the recording options, press 1. Hi, this is Don's BlackBerry. You want to change the message?
No.
All right, that's fine. I got to run.
Say hi to Buzz.
Oh, you got him on the line? Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Mayor Barry.
How is your terrible flu problem going today?
I'm feeling better. Thanks for asking.
What do you have in store for us on the news tonight? I'm very excited about it. You know,
we're owning the radio.
We're strictly
prohibited. Found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
There you go, Buzz. Mm-hmm. You still on the pipe?
Yeah, well, sometimes.
All right. No problem at all.
Uh-huh. How about you?
I listen to your news. I like the editorial slant that you have.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That makes me proud.
You do a good job. You cover local D.C. politics?
Not so much.
Tommy Williams. I'll tell you. He's going to run the city right into the ground.
You think?
Yeah, not like me. He's not doing a good job like I did.
I like
just
the
bow tie,
I
wearing
like
smart ass, think he's such a big deal. I'm over here just celebrating my 70th birthday.
Enjoy.
Having a good old time. I find myself getting a little bit weepy, though.
Sure.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, you're reflecting, looking
maybe
back.
Maybe because I'm 70 years old.
That's right.
Maybe it's all the drugs I've done.
Could be that.
I'm just so sad.
Who's in your news tonight?
Jesus Christ, I'm sad.
Tonight,
Susan Gomez.
These three gay rabbis walk into a bar. The Jackson family finally turns against Jacko.
I don't mean to cry.
And Homeland Security begins at home.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. What kind of man am I?
Yeah, fine man.
I pull myself up on my bootstrap crying like a little baby.
You'll be fine.
It just seems that I feel like I'm going to be in the ground pretty soon.
No, no.
Just, hey.
Ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
No, no.
Hey.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I'm sorry.
Who wants some crack cocaine?
Oh, there we go. There is something to live for after all.
Uh-huh.
I gotta run, fool.
Buzz the news and comments. Oh, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. And Blackberry, that was very...
That's professional. I sweat it right through my sport coat.
Mm-hmm. This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Quite listenable. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, what's the deal on our website? We will not have the audio highlight.
No, we will have an audio highlight.
We will have it up today.
Yes.
But you just told me we won't.
I love to trick you.
All right.
No.
I wish I could quit you. How many times has that been overused in the world? Quite a few.
Not enough, Mike. What about the faggot cowboys?
Yeah. I wish I could quit you. Wish I hadn't passed out. I would like to see how that ended.
It ended face down, ass up.
No, I think it ends up that they don't do that anymore. That's what I heard.
I seen it.
Oh, you saw it?
Don't you remember? I told you that I got a copy of it. We had this discussion.
Well, I thought that the way what I read was that they go off to he they it's love they
I
don't get together.
How you interpret it, Mike?
I see.
I believe. Okay, remember? Don't you remember? I told you I got a copy of it only because I wanted to see who was on top and who was on bottom.
Right?
Yeah, you wanted to see the
skip through it. You wanted to see that special moment.
Speaking of
hello,
you know I have a 1960s Batman suit.
Yes.
Cape and cowl.
That's right. We're waiting.
And a utility belt. Mm-hmm. This will be the week.
Ah, very good. Any chance of revealing what day it's going to be?
No, it depends.
Or are we just going to come in here with... I have a question for you. You know how we all come into the office and everybody gathers before the show.
Mm-hmm.
That the day that you're going to be doing this, when we gather in the office, will you be in cape and cowl?
No, I'll be dressed as Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Until showtime.
That makes
very
sense.
Good. And I'm going to wait and go with what Tony Perkins says. I'll be watching Fox tomorrow morning to see what the weather's going to be like this week to pick the optimum day.
Tony called me, and I haven't called him back yet. I got to return his call, but he wants us to get together. That's what he wants to do.
Good.
He wants you and me and another famous morning man to all have dinner together. That's what the message was.
Let me guess. Is the colored guy?
Stop it. Jesus. God. Stop. Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's...
I'm going to call him back tonight.
Russ Parr?
That's exact. You got it. You aced it again.
Wow. Savant.
Very good.
Spooky. Okay, hi there, bud.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
You know, being a member of the Jackson family is a lot like being a member of Fight Club. You don't talk about it. But now, for the first time, one of Michael's brothers is speaking out about the white sheep of the family, Jacko. Jermaine Jackson says he thinks Michael might have been guilty of the most recent child molestation charges.
Let's remember he named his daughter...
Your Majesty.
Right.
Royal Majesty. Jermaine says he only supported his brother at the trial because he knew Michael wouldn't last a day in prison without killing himself. Jermaine says Jacko is an out-of-control substance abuser who has a calculating mean streak and, quote,
that's right,
a thing for young children, end quote. Jermaine says that when Tito's wife died and the family gathered for support, they found Michael holding Tito's kids, quote, in a disturbing manner. He says Mike likes Vicodin, as well as Demerol, codeine, Percocet, cocaine, Jack Daniels, and wine. So Jermaine poses the question, does he really...
Like a party of buzzes.
Yeah, sort of. But Jermaine's question is, does he really know what he does with these kids? Jermaine says Michael lies, cheats, and yes, did take steps to change the color of his skin.
Shock.
Jermaine's pitching a new book called Legacy, Surviving the Best of the Worst. And what you've just heard is just part of what's in his 8-page book proposal. Jermaine says Michael has made drastic threats about publishing the book, so now Jermaine says he won't. The book is off. Jermaine says Michael also really does hate Jews, partly because he thinks Spielberg is partly because he thinks Spielberg and Katzenberg stole his idea for DreamWorks Pictures right down to the Boy in the Moon logo.
You really frightened those nice Jews, young man.
So he's not going to write the book.
Right, the book is off.
He's already come out and said all these things.
It's too late.
Can I also read the part of this is that Michael Jackson bought his house? And part of this, I read somewhere in some gossip site today, Fark.com.
One of those.
Oh, you mean Fark.com, the website, had a thing about him?
One of
he paid
places.
For Michael Jackson's house?
Michael Jackson paid for Jermaine's house.
Jackson.
And Michael Jackson said, among other things, you write that book, guess what?
You lose the house.
Wow.
You're out of
yeah.
the house.
Yeah, it was in the New York Daily News today as well.
And also parts about maybe that Michael Jackson was touched by other men that the dad used to take Michael, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He's really going out with him. Joe Jackson used to take little Michael out before they hit it big, and when they would come back from these late night trips, he would be sick for days.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of that alleged by Your Majesty's father.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But they'll take it away.
It's just amazing of all the... If you had told me one Jackson brother that wouldn't do that, would not come out against him, I would have said it was Jermaine.
Yeah,
I'm very, very surprised.
Yeah.
He was the only... You know, next to Michael, he was the most successful of the brothers. You would have think...
Oh, no, I think Stonewall was much more successful.
Stonewall.
Rabbi.
I figured Marlon. That's who I thought it would be. Yeah. I really thought it would be Marlon.
You always say that.
I know. Always felt it.
Rabbis may start performing commitment ceremonies for gays and lesbians, and some of the rabbis themselves may be gay. The Committee of Jewish Lawyers who
Mike, why did you applaud that?
Because it felt like it.
The Committee of Jewish Lawyers who set policy for the conservative Judaism movement will meet this week to make that decision. When they voted on this 14 years ago, they ruled that Jewish law clearly bans gay weddings and gay rabbis.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew!
Now, maybe not so much. Things have changed in that 14 years. More Jews have come out of the closet, and some
this
of them...
This is Michael Hoffman.
Some of them are
listening to Jew to Jew.
Some of them are rabbis.
He's not gay.
More rabbis started performing same-sex ceremonies in those 14 years. In other words, Jews are facing some of the same conflicts as Christian religions. For conservative Jews, the rules could change this week. The conservative movement is actually the moderate wing of Judaism in this country between Orthodox and Reform.
Let me just say, and this is where the delivery with Jon Stewart last night just doesn't work. I thought this was an incredibly funny joke that he's just discussing Spielberg,
right.
And he said, Steven Spielberg, Schindler's List, Munich.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good for the Jews.
Yeah, or something like what's going to happen next.
One more movie for our people.
What's next? And it's like, and it just, it thuds.
Oh, it died.
And
yeah.
It dies. And
he was not great, but he also, in fairness to him, he didn't have the greatest audience. I think they were a tight-assed audience.
Tough crowd.
And that's why I said that you need someone a little more disarming. Like
somebody
maybe.
Where, because don't you think the Hollywood types, they're going to laugh at somebody they think they have to laugh at.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
With that, if you get the iconic guy up there, they're going to laugh
somebody
at
like Johnny Carson, or like you said, even somebody like Clooney.
Clooney is, oh, it's George. Oh, we got to laugh at
him. Oh, and the other thing, Will Smith,
uh-huh.
Do me a favor, Will. The next time, and it's not like you're going to be nominated again.
Mm-hmm.
So let's forget that right now.
Probably,
okay.
Yeah.
When you come out, don't do your shtick. Because I don't know what it was that Will Smith was introducing, but he came out and he said, foreign language film.
Right.
And he did almost like his Independence Day thing, where he looked at it, he said, and this and this and this. And then that means,
yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And he looks at the camera, you know, with that.
And that was another one where you heard crickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that cockeyed head move of his, that, you know, his big, gigantic head. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's right out of Men in Black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really, it is.
And in that tough room, it didn't go.
Will Smith?
A lot of crap didn't go in that room.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shut up.
And also, for my money, really, while you still have a major movie star that's alive and kicking and still moving around pretty good, you don't have Jack. You don't save Jack for the very end.
You make Jack come out earlier. You really do. Jack Nicholson.
See, there I would disagree with you. Because really? I think he's all they've got.
He is all they've got. You're right. He's all they've got. Well, then maybe put him in. Maybe give him two spots.
He wouldn't do two spots.
I won't do two spots.
You should have heard Regis calling Jack Nicholson calling the Regis show this morning. Jack Nicholson.
He'd had a night. It didn't even sound like him.
Was 5 after 6, L.A. time.
Right.
Calls in. Hey, Regis.
They still didn't do it well enough because I said to you that I thought they were duping him and that it was somebody calling as Jack. And they left that kind of hanging. It was almost like they weren't sure of it.
I've watched the Regis show enough to know that that Jack Nicholson has called into the show.
Okay.
Before.
See, I didn't know that.
On the day after the Oscars.
All right.
And also, Regis mentioned something about when he was in Los Angeles, he left a note for Jack Nicholson.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Then Jack Nicholson said, and this is a very slurred, early in the morning, Jack Nicholson said, yeah, I got the note, but did you write it in the dark? Because I went to my assistant and said to her, somebody named Peggy left me a note.
I'd like to see Regis's handwriting.
This is something that went right over everybody's heads on this show. But that's how I knew it with Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to know that Regis has got, like, awful old man handwriting.
You know, I'm in that mode now with Regis and Kelly that I just don't trust them. Because I think that they try to lie to their audience just about as much as anybody does on TV with their tiny little program has been previously recorded. And the fact that they do that now whenever they do the recorded show and the way that they did it in Los Angeles. You hit me to that. And they do it right when they're coming out. Right when you're looking at that door they're going to come out of. That's when they, almost in translucent lettering, they put program has been.
I told Mike, if you ever turn Regis on and he's like not got the newspapers there,
right?
Or like it's the day after Katrina,
mm-hmm.
and you turn on Regis and you expect to hear his take, and it's like, well, here we are. It's a new day. It's September 24th. Hey, Kelly, look, someone sent me a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
Anyway,
that means they've taped it in advance.
Right? That's the day I called you. It's recorded.
Mike called me like 1 second afterwards. I said, don't bother watching.
It's recorded.
They taped this. They taped this last week.
And I, you know, obviously all shows, you know, record and then have repeats and reruns. But the fact is, they are as sneaky about it as anybody I've ever seen.
Because they still present it as live
with
Regis and Kelly. And they run a very small disclaimer on the days when they tape, saying this show was taped earlier.
I think that's all their producer, Michael Gelman. Yeah. I think that's secrecy. He's used to being secretive.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarro Sports and something special from the Monkey News Network when we come back.
Now you're talking my language. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They crap their spontaneity. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Good look, but you better not touch. She, Bob. Oh, hi, Buzz Gridley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey.
In sports, Daniel Gibson, who's a guard for the basketball team at Texas A&M, apparently doesn't wear underwear even on the court. And whoever selects the photographs to be printed in the College Station Texas Eagle newspaper apparently doesn't have very good eyesight.
Oh, my.
Because on the cover of the sports page last Thursday was published a photograph of Daniel Gibson in action and very much exposed.
Come on, have a ball with this.
The shot has him in midair with his basketball shorts riding up. Also floating in midair is Daniel's penis. The paper denies this.
God.
Says it's an optical illusion. I've seen the photo. It's not. And I can tell you now, with no uncertainty, why they're called the Longhorns. A couple of weeks ago, a high school girl started experiencing stomach pains on the school bus ride home. They took her to the hospital. What 18-year-old Kayla Alier didn't know is that she had been pregnant for the past 9 months, and the baby was arriving.
I love these stories.
Mother and baby are fine, which is quite an accomplishment, considering she didn't know she was pregnant. And even more of an accomplishment when you consider she had just finished scoring 6 points in a school basketball game. And finally, today the Monkey News Network takes you to the dark jungles of the Congo, where both natives and outsiders are struggling to save the species known as the bonobo chimpanzee. Nicknamed the hippie chimp because they're all about peace and love, the bonobos settle their differences not with violence, but with sex. Disputes are settled with French kisses and intercourse. When enemy packs of bonobo chimps meet, they greet each other by grabbing the stranger's genitals and by rubbing their bodies in a way that can only be described as sensuous.
Is it your real name, Bonobo?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Buzz Bonobo.
Come over here to this cage. These are the Burbank chimpanzees.
The trouble is, many of the human villagers in the Congo also find the bonobo chimp to be about the tastiest meat a person could eat. And now there's a danger this amazing animal could become extinct.
They're great.
Suddenly, thanks to poachers, they're disappearing much too quickly. People, if we don't save another species, let's try to hang on to the one that greets its enemies by caressing their genitals. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! That was Buzz Burbank, man on a mission.
That's right.
Thank you, Buzz, for that. We got to fly. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody.
Good, good, good.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. And don't forget, we're on iTunes as well with the podcast on Apple iTunes. And good day to you,
sir. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you.
Chimps are great if you put them in Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
With Brenning.
Until we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.